Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.thegologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow thegologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Saturday, September 12th, year of our Lord, 2020. I'm in the audio chat with my two favorite fakeologists from Australia, from Sydney and Port Macquarie, Rick, hello.
Hello, Mr. Fakeologist Mobile, driving as we speak.
Driving, and the number one, the drunkest, most generous Australian who calls himself a fakeologist.
G'day,
the one and only. You either love him or you hate him. You don't have any in-between feelings. The clown himself, the Joker himself.
Rollo.
Thank you. You are everything a clown should be. Offensive and scary as hell.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Thank you for the big chat out with Marcus Allen on last, on your mask.
By the way, Marcus thinks the drunk act is an act.
I know, I heard it. I listened to it.
Oh, man. Oh, let me tell you now, Marcus, he can really pretend to drink so convincingly that I got fooled. And I'm still pretty convinced that he
No,
really
you're part. No, you're part of the act.
Oh, okay.
You're his handler, actually.
Oh, okay.
I was pretty wasted. Yeah, thank you, mate. And just stop handling my cock. But I was pretty wasted last week.
Oh, you'd love that.
And I'm glad you played.
Oh, you were bad last week.
Yeah, I know. You called it what did you call it? The bad fart? The bad fart?
It was a bad fart. You've had bad farts, haven't you?
Oh, yes, of course. But
have you guys had farts that were so bad that you had to run out of the room? Try to get away from them?
Depends what you've eaten, but yeah, that's happened.
It's called a Dutch oven.
You had to leave the room.
John LeBall.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Come on. Open your eyes.
I want to live a real life. I don't want to dream any longer.
Big shout out to Velvet for that bumper.
What movie was that?
It just started.
Awesome.
I think that's JLB, isn't it? JLB?
Yeah.
G'day, mate.
You know why I'm here, of course. You've worked out why I'm here.
Advertise?
Oh, yeah, 9-11. It's 9-11 anniversary.
It's the 19th anniversary of 9-11. So where else would I want to be but right here at fakeologist.com with all of these lovely people who know that 9-11 was a hoax? You guys do know that, right? Nobody died, nobody got hurt.
That was yesterday, Johnny. Johnny, how are you?
This is the closest that we've got to it.
Yeah.
Johnny, how are you holding up in that Asian country? How are you holding up, really, honestly?
Well, I'm still alive.
I'm worried about you.
Oh, you're worried about me. Don't worry about me, mate. I'll be right. Don't you worry. I'll be just right.
It is getting a little bit grating.
I mean, there's no end to this, is there?
No. It's been getting more.
It just started.
Annoying. That's what's getting.
Wait,
annoying.
But John, would you want to go back to Melbourne or Brisbane now? Honestly, that's a big question. If you could, would you want to? For what's
you know,
going
like in
on
some,
there?
Like sci-fi films, the plot line is that someone has been growing up on Earth in their home country or their home planet is destroyed. That's kind of how I feel. Like, I don't really belong here. You know
no,
what I mean?
Seriously.
I don't belong here. But
I'm not sure I want
back
to go
where
back
I'm from.
To Australia.
I know. You definitely want to go back to Victoria, because Every single person I've spoken to, they feel suicidal. That's the common word.
Is it that bad? Really?
Did you guys see Anastasia
Palaszczuk? Wait, what about PK? PK doesn't look suicidal.
That fucking Dan Andrews is a disgrace. They're all fighting each other.
Yeah, you know, sorry, when I say that, I mean, when I speak to people, like my cousin, who's right in the middle of it, living in Melbourne, he's a fanatic. He can't do this.
Can you get him on the broadcast?
Get this one. Guess what saved him, and now he's feeling better. He's got a job doing COVID.
Contact tracing?
It's kind of like that. No, what he does is, COVID.
Is he doing the nasal? Is he doing the nasal rapes?
No, what he's doing is he's doing a study where it allows you, if you need to get back there, it's kind of like a COVID excuse that you're allowed to get through the border. So he's actually doing that. So if John wants to come back,
he's selling border passes.
That's what he's doing. So he lost his job. He was unemployed for all his time. Now he's doing the. Like a COVID excuse thing that if you've got a problem that you really need to get back if someone's sick,
John to go back to Melbourne and lead the resistance. That would be epic. John?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a protest? Have you ever been to a protest and seen the kind of people that come up to these things?
We have.
We did last week.
I haven't listened to your podcast last week. I heard bad things. Ab was talking a lot of shit about it, so I just skipped it.
We were accused.
Me?
By Dave J.
No.
It was Dave J said that we were faking, that we weren't there. We pretended.
No, the guy's head got cracked.
The whole thing was a hoax.
No, he's saying the guy with the head crack was fake. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, but they weren't there. Like, we just, all he did is bash his head a little bit when the
did
guy...
Did you see any squibs? Any squibs?
No.
There was no squibs. He looked like a pig.
He had no hair, so when his head bounced on the concrete, it just cracked a little bit and he got a bit of a scratch and it bled. But we were all dry. After we got back, it was very exhilarating. I mean, I had, when you see something like that, you get adrenaline and you were absolutely...
Oh, yeah. You got an adrenaline rush?
I was on an adrenaline rush. Rollo was shocked. My mate was shocked.
Yeah, I didn't know whether to get involved or not.
I didn't know whether to do something or just sit there and watch it. All I could do was film the guy and make the cops know that we're watching you. And I kept saying, are you seeing what you're doing, you cunts? And they just said, that female cop comes and goes, I never saw nothing. It was like, you
really?
Piece of shit. Yeah. That's what she said to me. She goes, I never saw nothing. Mm. And she was the one that had a hand on the back of
her. That means she saw something, a double negative.
Yeah, and then afterwards we were all ordered to move out of the park afterwards. We went back to the Criterion after that. Yeah.
But anyway, the fact that we got accused of faking it, and it was like, when you're adrenalized and
the guy with the head injury was fake. That's what he said.
SMJ, SMJ posted a cop, and I went, Jesus, did the guy survive that? Because it was nowhere near as violent as that smackdown.
The guy had all he did was he was fantastic because what he was saying, he was going, you're a corporation, you're not allowed to touch me, I have a right to be here, it's a nice day, I'm walking through here, and they surrounded him and did that to him. He wasn't being nasty, he wasn't threatening, he wasn't drinking, he was just being a normal guy, and they got him on the ground and took him away. Now, whether that was...
They dogpiled him, he didn't even resist that much, and then they did cheap shots after they got him down.
So it was staged.
No way. Why would you bother? Because if me and Rollo had have said when they cop
because
come
they
up,
want to scare. Listen, Australia is engaging in agitprop like no other place ever. The agitprop's off the charts.
The cops here.
Off the charts.
The cops here love arresting people, whether you do anything or not. Simple as that.
Well, can I say this? This is the bizarre thing. Sorry, go. No, go. Just right, before you go off. This is the bizarre thing. on this topic, I think Rick and I are on the same page here. People do get arrested. They don't have to fake this stuff. And it's been this weird talking point on my server for the last couple of weeks where a lot of people seem to think all these arrest videos are fake. And I'm like, well, maybe they're fake. They can fake anything. But what makes you think this is fake? They do arrest people. They do. Over trivial shit. Yeah? So I think what Rick is saying is that he thinks that these some of these arrests are real. That's my suspicion. But there are people out there saying that it's all fake, like this Anaconda Malt Liquor has a YouTube channel. And he seems like a decent guy. Like, I've got nothing against the dude. He used to be close to PK. I don't know if it's still close, but he's making all these videos saying that all these arrest videos are fake. And I'm like, why are you saying these are fake? What, is there anything about them? Like, do you not believe the police arrest people? Like, what am I missing here? They do arrest people. Over trivial shit. So how come they can't be arresting people now?
John, they wanted to arrest me on Monday again, because... And now they've blocked me. They've blocked me from the COVID-19 hotline, 1-800-080-020. They blocked me from my landline and my mobile. They won't take my calls at all anymore.
Well, we can come back and talk about that. That is interesting, I'll be honest. But just getting back to what Rick was saying, I think what Rick is saying is he thinks some of these arrests are real. That's my suspicion as well. And I don't understand why people are saying that it's all fake. Why do I have to fake this?
No, exactly, because when they came up, they stood over us about Rollo having a drink, because he wanted to open his bottle of wine. If we had have, all we had to say is, we're opening that bottle of wine, and they would have surrounded us and arrested us. That's how easy it was, you know. They don't need to fake anything. All you have to say is, no, go away, and they will arrest you. And that's what they did to, I think there was about six people, or five or six people arrested that day. I'm not sure. I definitely saw two people.
Your mate, said that they were carrying old ladies away.
Yeah.
They said,
I think John
the Realologist is on the call tonight. John the Realologist is here.
I can tell you for a fact they do arrest people, Ab, because I've been arrested by the police in Australia more than once. It's a real thing that does happen.
I agree. You could get arrested.
Arrested.
They can stage arrest if they want to control the situation, though, and make an example.
They can stage them, and I'm saying that maybe these videos are fake, but I just don't get why people are so certain that they're fake. Why?
Avi Yemeni, was that fake? Was that fake? Avi Yemeni, come on.
What's a Yemeni?
Real. Avi Yemeni, they rocked up to his place because he's on Facebook, and he says, I'm a journalist. I'm a journalist. And...
I missed that one. Anyway,
yeah, Jewish guy,
John, are you
going
to go back to Melbourne and leave the resistance? What do you think?
Certainly not. Certainly not. Because the so-called resistance, most of them, are a ragtag bunch of hopeless individuals. And that's just being honest about it. So, there is no
John,
resistance.
John, I asked if there was a map of Australia
there
for 2050 like there is of America. Do you know of any such plans, the technocratic? By the way, I'm calling this the Great Coronavirus Hoax Reset. We need to rebrand now because it's emerging as the two concepts.
So what are you? But what
GCR.
Was
GCR.
GCR. Okay. GCR. Yeah.
Hashtag GCR.
Hashtag GCR.
Yeah.
Well, Great Corona Reset. Well, that's true because that's what's happening. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
but
I think so.
I mean, look. Rollo and I and my friend Dean, who we're all...
Dean,
great guy.
So all three of us have been arrested before, I'll say that. And all three of us were absolutely gobsmacked by what we witnessed. And none of us are dummies. And if they were faking any of that, well, good on them, but why would you need to pay someone when you could... So all they were doing was saying, you can't...
What have you been arrested for before, Rick? I mean, I've only been arrested for drunk and disorderly and drunk driving. That's the only thing I've been arrested for.
Mine was a fuck over, but they still came around and arrested me, you know, like, so there's no debating it, you know, I'm not going to say that...
And you were put in handcuffs behind your back?
No, I've never done that, but I was put in the back of a dog wagon.
I was.
Fingerprinted and blah, 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 blah.
Were you tied up, Rob?
Cool.
They tie you up?
Yeah, 1997.
You deserve that.
but I wasn't, I was only trying to get away from them.
Yeah, no, that's normal. But these guys, what they were doing is just... Yeah,
yeah, what's wrong with evading arrest? I can't understand why they would go after you.
No, I was drink driving, Ab. I was drink driving.
Yeah, Rollo.
You could have killed somebody.
Exactly. And but this guy, all he was doing was saying that you guys are...
He should have shot you.
Rick.
Do you think the police care if they're a corporation? Come on. What are you wasting here? That doesn't make any sense that you would tell a cop that.
Yeah, but if I'm standing on the side of the road going, you guys are corporations.
Okay, I think we've beaten this horse to death. What's the next topic?
Where's Golden Skidmark in your story about running from the police around... Where is Skidmark? I haven't listened to last
week. He'll be here. Why don't you call him up? He'll be here shortly. The 9/11, we don't want to talk about the 19th anniversary during the week.
Why not? Who said we don't want to talk about it?
This is your first I was expecting a big crowd for this one.
JLB, they'll rock in.
We got JLB here. Who else do we need here?
Yeah, you're the biggest celebrity.
JLB could...
Bring them in.
Where's the membership from the JLB Discord? Why didn't you bring them over today?
JLB, can you do? The rest of fate, and I'm not very happy about it. I'm like in the minority on my own website now.
I've been arguing since last Sunday till about 4 days ago. Dave J, SMJ, etc., saying that the whole thing was fake.
You are hardcore. I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear
I'm Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, and I've got John LeBon on the line from where are you, John LeBon?
Beautiful Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. I don't know who Andrew Carrington Hitchcock is though. Is he one of those anti-Jew people?
Yes.
Oh yeah, he's Golden Skidmark's favorite guy.
I'm Max Egan. Max Egan, how do I do that?
We did do a talk last night with Ounce of Salt, and Dave J turned up apparently. So we had a bit of a discussion about 911, but it's funny.
What did he say about masks? His best line was about masks. What did he say? Were you listening?
No. I was worried.
Left at that point. You left.
Go ahead. Ab tells what did I say about masks?
I can't remember what he said. It was basically I can't remember. I don't want to misquote him, so I'll have to go back and re-quote him.
Are you guys all getting along now? Like Dave J, Rick, Ounce of Salt?
No.
We were arguing like cats and dogs for about
even
four
Tom
days.
Dalper came back just to throw mud at Dave J.
I saw Tom in the chat. I thought Tom was
I had one stage, I was on my phone working, and I had Dave J and SMJ accusing me of all this stuff, and I was arguing back with one hand and working with the other, and all of a sudden it just stopped. And I think Dave Jones went like, he honestly thought that we were lying about where we were. And I said, look, Rollo cannot lie. The guy's got, and it's true, Rollo does not lie. He just tells the truth for everything that he sees. He's not a bullshit artist. Absolutely, and it's true. He just tells you the honest truth, and it might be painful, and it might be, well, wherever. And I'm not a bullshit artist, dude. All I saw was what I saw.
So, John, do you ever see yourself getting out of where you are, Kuala Lumpur?
If you want, we can talk about me, but, I didn't mean to interrupt the beginning of the show.
You can't interrupt this show. There's nothing to interrupt. Go ahead. No content.
I don't know, man. Honestly, I don't know what's going on because they've extended our like all our visas have expired. Everyone in my situation, our visas are expired. We're allowed to stay here, and they keep extending how long we can stay. So I've got until the end of December now, so I can stay here for another few months. But do I really want to stay here for another few months? I mean, it's kind of been a bit too long already. So to answer your question, man, I don't know. I've got another Airbnb booked for another month. That'll take me through to about the middle of or the end of October. And then beyond that, man, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I am kind of getting a little bit... What do you call it when you're in one place too long and you're kind of... I don't know.
Stir-crazy. Overstay your welcome.
Crazy. I'm getting a little bit stir-crazy, man. A little bit. So, to answer your question, man, I don't know what I'm doing next. I don't know. The world's going mad, mate. The world's going completely
Where
mad.
Where were you going to go next? Where was your next stop, anyway?
Indonesia. I was going to go to Jakarta. And whenever I tell people that, I say to them, I've never been
What's
to Indonesia
Jakarta?
Before. Like, well, dude, anyone... Well, nothing, but I just want to go and see it. Like, I want to go to all these different big cities and just see for myself, like, what's good and what's bad. So anyway, you know, most Aussies are sort of known for going to Bali, which is technically Indonesia, but I've never been there.
John, why do you go out on a whim?
There
I talked to a friend of mine. He's Persian. He said the mask insanity is not really happening in Iran. It's not really happening in Tanzania. And it's not really happening, I have a Somali friend, it's not really happening in Somaliland. Somaliland is not an official country. They want to be a country, but the masquerade is not happening there. Why don't you go nuts and try and get into one of these non-masquerading countries? That would be interesting.
I don't know how many of those countries are actually open. I have thought of going to Turkey. The problem with Turkey is they don't really speak English. Like, honestly, man, of all the places you can be stuck, Malaysia's not that bad. The English here is pretty good. The facilities are good. The food's good. It's cheap. The accommodation's cheap. Like, I've got no issue with KL and Malaysia. I'm just sick of being in one spot for this long. You know what I mean? That's not the idea of all of this. I mean,
could you go to Persia? Could you go to Tehran?
I haven't looked into Iran, but I don't think they're open. I don't think so. Most countries are not letting people in. You know that. Like, most countries still are not letting people in. Like,
I can't even go over the border to the rest.
That's letting people in.
I know. I can't even... Well, I don't know if I can go to the U.S. I went to the border last week on Monday, and the main bridge for just
Aren't
cars
you American?
And not...
Do you still have your passport to get in?
Of course I could, yeah.
If you're a citizen, how can they not let you in?
No, they can, but if I'm with my family, they're not American, I don't want to conflict in that way.
I see.
But the passenger bridge or the car bridge was completely empty when I went to Niagara Falls. Completely empty. I know that because I looked down from the Ferris wheel in Niagara Falls, you can look it up, and there wasn't a car on it, I've never seen that, that's for sure.
Economy,
yeah, the border is quote-unquote closed.
The economy is cracking here. Yeah, it's starting to crash here, too. Oh, here we go.
Not this economy.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for your support, yes.
Thank you, Rollo. Thank you, Rollo.
Yeah, how's the nation been going lately, Ab? Are people supporting the site?
Terrible. Yeah, they've dried right up.
I'm going to continue online.
My content must suck. The content obviously sucks. The market calls, the farts, the audio chats. I can't do enough.
I'm glad you mentioned that Marcus call. I enjoyed the most recent one from, like, was it a week ago or something?
Thank you.
I enjoyed that one. That was good. Good conversation.
Yeah, me too. And it was beautifully produced as well. You did it on Skype, did you? Skype or on Zoom?
I don't like Skype,
that's right.
But
what's his name? Marcus was doing his usual poo-pooing other... Yeah, in fact, both of you guys do that. That's why you guys are a good pair, because you always shit on each other's ideas. He was shitting on Discord. It's like, what are you talking about?
I don't know why.
Discord is fantastic.
I don't know why. He doesn't have a good reason, though. Yeah, he doesn't have a reason. I don't really like Zoom. I don't really like Zoom either. Zoom is... I think Discord is better than Zoom, but why is the whole world using Zoom? That makes no sense to me.
Well, I'll tell you, Discord is coming... You guys are coming through clear as a bell right now on Discord. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Zoom is...
But the thing is, people want super chats. Super Chats. It's like,
you what know, are you talking oh, about? Yeah. Nobody is on Super Chats. What, I don't even know
yeah,
what you're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, yeah, no. What? I'm talking about, from... I'm talking about if you really want to make serious dollars out of what's going on in the world at the moment. Yeah, because everyone's living in California. California, California, IA. I've never been to San Francisco.
Only Rolo can go from Super Chat to a non sequitur, California. How did you make that leap?
Well, because my, a guy that I'm absolutely love, his name's Gary Beekler. Gary Beekler, and he's fucked off to Texas. And so many other, like Joe Reagan, I think he's fucked off as well. He's left California
mates,
as well.
All of his mates, they all want to do that. They all want to go and hit
yeah.
him and
they
want to
fuck off. Yeah, well
thing.
Done.
Yeah. Will they actually do
yeah,
that?
He went to
Will
Austin.
They actually do that?
Did you listen to the Adam Curry, Joe Rogan? I don't, why do people like Joe Rogan? Can anyone tell me? I can't stand
because
the
because he's into fighting, he knows fighting well. He's into drugs.
Okay,
most people love drugs, especially young people now. They love drugs. He seems like
okay.
he's independent-minded. He's not necessarily political. And also, some of what he says actually is good stuff that young people should hear. Like, for instance, young men
he's
should have
awesome.
Things that they're working towards, right? And he talks about this kind of thing about, you know, not getting yeah. lost in you know, the nonsense SJW stuff of this world. All that stuff appeals to
yeah.
young people. There's a reason he's successful. It's not an accident. And he's not being pushed. People do like
and when and John LeBron, when he went from YouTube to where did he go? He went over to Spotify or something.
Spotify.
And they didn't fucking transfer all the fucking calls. They transferred
yeah,
you're boring,
a
mate. You're boring Canadian, mate.
I only listen to him when he's got
why
a person I like, which is like a 1 in 20. Most of the time I'm just like that.
Yeah, yeah, but they didn't transfer the Alex Jones. And they were the best calls ever.
You listened to
they
them
were
all?
The best one. Yeah, Alex Jones.
You listened to them? You listened to
yeah,
them?
Yeah, fucking eyes. They're fucking hilarious.
I know you're a Joe Rogan fan.
Fucking eyes I am.
Okay,
I mean, MMA. I mean, I'm not huge into MMA.
You haven't mentioned Dave Cullen on this call. I don't know how you can listen to
no,
Dave Cullen. He's as boring as paint. Paint drying.
Hey, so I did listen to the Adam Curry on Joe Rogan call. It was interesting to listen to them talk about the history of podcasting and the rest of it. I thought it was an interesting
yeah.
talk.
Yeah, it was way too long. Way too long. I sped it up at the end. I couldn't stand it anymore. I was taking too long.
Where was John C. Dvorak that day? Where was John C. Dvorak? Was he there?
He has nothing to do with
it. It's when those two are together. It's where those two together make it really, really...
I don't know Agenda Show is good because they have a lot of info, but...
Even though they are kind of, you know, bullshit artists.
No, Adam is a gatekeeper. Did you hear the vaccine at the beginning? All they do is talk about vaccines
Lord.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, let's talk about that now. Are you going
to
take
before we
one?
Do, just before we do, Roll, I wanted to ask you a question. Did you hear
yes.
Marcus Allen's suggestion that you're faking being drunk? Did you hear that? And what's your response to that?
Yeah, my response is this. It's like playing darts. It's like, go, Rick. Rick?
Rollo, in front of me, drank a bottle of wine. He'd had a bottle of wine when he got there. I watched him drink 3 double vodkas at the pub. And then we got another bottle of champagne, wasn't it? Then we went to the
mm-hmm.
protest.
Mm-hmm.
Then, on the way home at Burwood, we stopped off and got 2 bottles of champagne. And you'd polished one of them off before I dropped you off to your wife. And you would have had another one after that. Oh, I saw you
yeah.
drink them. Marcus has got no idea if he thinks that that Rollo's pretending. He is
I'm an alcoholic.
Genuine.
So what are you saying
yeah,
to you? What you're saying is that Rollo is a drunk. Which
I think most of us agree
that he is a drunk. I'm not going to respond to you, Rollo, because you're going to be a dick. In fact, if you want to start, we'll start, but don't be a dick. So, going back to we all agree that Rollo can be a drunk. But there is a suggestion that sometimes he does exaggerate it a little bit. Do you think that's possible?
I don't think so. Really drunk when he says he's really drunk.
Yeah,
John, I've been at his house... Hours, days, weeks, you know, whatever.
You're going to paint it.
No, but when I did paint the inside, I actually was there.
No, but you've got to paint the outside.
Oh, I'm going to. Yes, I'm going to. But when Rollo says he's been drinking, he's drinking. He's not pretending. He really is. And ask his wife. Bring his wife up and get her to verify it.
No, no. We don't want to hear that.
He's really
Leave
drinking.
Her out of it.
Marcus?
It's too bad.
Really
it's too bad. The New World Order will stop drinking. I'm thinking that. They will
Good
stop
luck on
it.
That one. Well, have you read
When's the last time you took a drink? Ab, when's the last time you took a drink?
Years. I don't Did drink.
Not one.
I don't drink.
Not one time. Not one time.
No.
Rollo is genuinely drunk when he's drunk. No making it up. No, and I will put my house and my own
It's a lovely house too. You've got
And you're gonna have my car.
Well, Rollo, next time I didn't get any callers on my show. I did have the phone lines open. You can call in if you want. I set up an Australia line as well. Do you
is
know
the
number on that?
No, is that the
no, that's the US.
Oh, not
I
well,
have more numbers.
All week I've been trying to ring John Laws.
Okay, can you tell us the Fakeologist Australia number? What is the Fakeologist Australia number? Why don't you read that out?
666.
I want to know if I...
Here we go.
Go ahead. No, that's the U.S. number.
Number
is 810-666-1984. The Canada number is 902-400-1984. But the Australia number is not a special number, so you'll have to memorize it. Can you visualize it?
Let me just tell you this. If you want to send Fakeologist anything in the mail, it's Fakeologist, box B33-14B-1822, Weiss Road, Pickering, Ontario, L10B1, Canada. There you go.
They missed the last letter, L1V, I think it is. V is in victory.
Oh, L1V0B1. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, look, Ab. I'm gonna send you another 300 for your Fako tube.
Thank you.
Let's go to Fako
Anyway.
Let's go to Fako tube now and let's have a look and see what's the latest.
Thank you, Rollo.
You put on Fako.
Oh, let's talk about Scott Byer.
Oh, Scott Baio, yeah, go, Rick. No.
Oh,
he played Johnny versus Chachi. Yeah,
Chachi. Happy day.
He's Chachi.
Yeah. So he was a star in the 70s and early 80s, and then he has faded somewhat. Let's just put it that way. But his
at least
little
he's
rant,
still alive. Johnny's gone.
Johnny.
Yeah, Erin Moran
died when she was only in her 30s.
Any EGI on Erin, by the way? Any EGI?
No.
Suspicion?
She was a girl.
Okay.
But that's more or less what I say. Frank,
I think she was a drug addict and an alcoholic.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Well, look, all these stars, they got lots of money and adulation, and you're in California in 1978, and you're going to get Quaaludes, and you're going to get cocaine, and all those things thrown at you. So, little wonder if she did die of that. I don't know. But Scott Baio, is what he said in his little rant on that podcast is fantastic. Because he said, no one's dying.
He said COVID is over. COVID is over.
Yeah, COVID is over because, what's the name, that horrible Pelosi... Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi.
She got filmed.
But they're really crushing California. They're really knocking it out.
Absolutely.
That's why everyone's leaving. Everyone's leaving. Yeah.
But guess what? Now, let's just talk about the psychologist here. So obviously,
John C. Dvorak is not leaving.
Well, good.
Go ahead, Rick. Good. I love it when you talk fakeologist.com.
Okay, well, what they're doing to fake this bullshit is they're getting everyone scared and panicky and burning places and allowing fires to happen, exactly what they're doing over here, so they can lower the property prices, which are some of the highest prices in America, let me just say that one, and then the other people will come in and they will buy it all up for pounds on the cents or cents on the pound and
you got it.
Take it over. Now, let's roll like... And John LeBon, if you're still there. I expose something that not many people have heard in Sydney, but in 1943 or 44, was it, the Japanese mini, allegedly, a Japanese mini sub came in and fired rounds off at the eastern suburbs and the northern suburbs.
Oh, Do you really think you can fire a weapon from a submarine?
Exactly. Listen to what I'm saying. Because I was talking to this lady who's in her 80s now, and she said, everyone that lived there was terrified, so we all moved to the east. We all moved to the Blue Mountains because we were told that the Japanese were coming in to bomb our houses, and so they sold their houses for nothing. And guess who moved into those areas? Guess who moved into those eastern areas?
Go ahead.
Where's Golden Skidmark when you need it?
So those houses that were on the eastern sea line, everyone panicked thinking that there was going to be a war and they were going to get, you know, the Japs would come in, there were mini subs and we were going to blow their houses up. So they sold their houses really cheap and all moved into the, you know, 6 miles up or whatever the Blue Mountains are up the coast. And other people came in and bought their houses really cheap because they were terrified. The original people that lived there were terrified they were going to get blown up. That I would say that was completely staged. I would say someone just fired a few rounds off from they could have had a minigun on a small boat and fired a few rounds off and then take off and no one caught them. But it caused the newspapers reported that the Japanese were bombing us. And the property prices plummeted on the most expensive.
Do you think the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor? Yeah, of course.
Exactly. It was
not by the Japs, but they did bomb. The Americans, I'm sure, bombed it themselves, and nobody died, nobody got hurt.
Exactly.
It was a strategic demolition of all the old warships in the port. They just got rid of them.
And
saved themselves lots of money.
But some people made a lot of money out of that hoax. And they moved into those.
Some people, they got the United States into the war. That was a big money. That was the whole point of it.
That was the Pearl Harbor.
That was the whole point of it.
Well, I'm talking about the Australian mini summit on Sydney. And so basically.
They set ports up here in Newcastle as well. It's called Fort Scratchley. I'm just looking at FakoTube right now, Freely Banana Girls band video. So what's this all about? Freely's recent
I think it's putting a lot of old stuff recirculating. If you scroll down, you can look at the newest stuff. I think the guy that wrote the software for FakoTube was telling me to install a certain gallery, and it kind of mixed up the front page a little bit, so I might have to look at that, but...
Why don't we just go to John LeBond?
So I think what you're saying is you're suggesting that they these fake, because we all know that the nuclear submarines were fake. Part of the agenda behind it was to scare people to make them sell. So others could take their property on the cheap.
Their property's over. Yeah, exactly. And look, it's definitely happened. I mean, I spoke to a lady. She goes, "Oh, we used to live there, but you know, my father was so terrified of the Japanese attacking again, we sold up and we moved up there. And those properties now are worth $4, $5, $10, $15, $20 million each. And they're on facing that beautiful eastern the rise of the. They all watch the sea. The moon rising or the sun rising on the eastern seaboard, they were terrified that the Japanese were going to come back and bomb them. And I thought, years ago, why would a mini sub try and fire rounds off? Because what are they going to do? What are they going to achieve by firing off a few rounds of a cannon on a coastline? But what they did achieve is that the property values plummeted. Richer people came in and bought it all up for fuck all, and the people that lived there took off and lived up the Blue Mountains and the cheapest accommodation you can still get in Australia is still up that Blue Mountain. because they were terrified by the fake war threat. It was a scam.
It's like the Gramp. Hey, John Lebon, it's like the Grampians, isn't it?
The fact that the people that used to live there, the original settlers that moved into Australia, were so scared of a threat of a Japanese invasion, they sold their houses for half the price or third of the price. And
hey, John, okay, we got it, Rick, we got it. Thank you for the real estate report. That's fantastic. We got it.
You're being
the psychic drive the message. Three times you said the same thing. We got it. Jesus. We are a little thick here, but not that thick.
I'm reporting on a major scam of a company.
I know, but you're repeating yourself. You're repeating yourself.
Yes, I am.
We get it. It's the oldest trick in the book.
Give him a break.
Scare people out of the neighborhood. No, he needs a little roping in.
Who are you protecting? Who are you protecting?
No, I'm saying you need to hear yourself. You don't hear yourself all the time. I'm your harshest critic and your best friend, okay? So shut up. Okay. John Lebon, how are sales at johnlebon.com this week?
Steady. Things are steady, mate. No, neither up nor down.
Good.
We had a big surge in March, April, because of the whole, all this nonsense going on. But since then, just steady, man. No complaints. No complaints whatsoever.
Have you refined your... What are the next 3 months in the great coronavirus folks reset master plan? What do you predict?
I don't know, man. Yep. I don't know. Like, I'm at the point where I just think, I don't know. I honestly don't know what's coming next. I mean, we've got the election coming up. We, as in the world, has this election coming up in, is it November? They go to the polls. The Americans go to the polls. So I can see that dominating the big. Oh, is it November 3rd, is it?
Yeah. I got to make sure I get my ballot.
Hold on,
believe so. Is that a Thursday?
What's Joe Biden? What's Joe Biden's running mate? The black woman.
Okay, let's talk about Joe Biden a sec, because people love this. Do you not think that we are witnessing a severe form of elder abuse? The guy is obviously out of it. I just find it disgusting that the guy is being put out there at all and made to talk. He makes no sense. Would you do that to your grandfather? I think it's disgusting what they've done. Clearly. It's terrible. Any comments?
Is it possible that this guy, this Joe Biden guy, is putting on some of his problems, or do you think this is definitely an old man with problems?
I don't think so.
I think Sarah last week said... Definitely like George W. George W. did a little bit of that craziness, but
statistically.
Hold on. We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is the Gulo. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Who?
Big shout out to the Gulo. Keep going, guys.
Well, it's possible, but I think statistically 78-year-old men could be getting dementia. It is possible he's putting on an act, but if he is, it's a really, his slurring, his losing track of his ideas, he's doing
Kamala,
very good if that's an act.
Kamala Harris.
Go Rick.
So Kamala in Finnish means horrible. So horrible Harrison, his running mate is obviously going to make the cut as president if he gets elected.
No. I think these two are definitely sacrificial lambs. There's no hope of any of them. I don't think it matters who they are or what they're back, because I don't think they have any hope. Now, I don't think necessarily the whole Trump thing is going to go through. I think we're going to watch, because we are in the middle of a worldwide military medical coup. And the big fish is the United States. So I'm not even certain that anybody that we know is going to be running the place. I'm very concerned with the whole outlook. I really think the great coronavirus
Can I run the place?
Well, you can run FakoTube for 3 months if you send in your donation on time.
Let's just say no. This is
no, I don't know.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick. That's the right.
I don't really know what's going to happen in November. I'm hoping Trump, I'm guessing Trump will just get in and nothing will happen, but
there's certainly strange things
going on.
Well, nothing happened today or yesterday on the 911 that everyone thought though was obviously going to
happen. Nothing.
So what happened to the cop that knelt on the alleged... George Floyd. Yeah.
The phony trial is supposed to be on 9/11. You're right, but never heard a word.
I didn't hear anything.
Did you?
So that
we don't know anything.
Well, it's obviously fake. There's obviously no trial.
Oh, there's no doubt it was a staged event. No doubt. It was pathetic, too.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, pathetic. Yeah.
And IBS is talking all about 846 and 42 and all these numerological signs that just show that it's completely staged.
Yeah.
I find the story extremely boring, so I don't really want to even know about it because I don't care.
Well, nothing happened as far as I'm aware. I haven't listened to the news, but as far as I'm aware, there's not a civil war.
So, Ab, if you're living in Portland now, or
I might be a little more concerned.
Yeah, you'd be a bit concerned, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, I
mean, Newcastle, here is fine. And Kuala Lumpur sounds like JohnLeBon.com does. It sounds like nothing's going on there.
We can go out here, man. It's open now. You can go out. There's events happening as we speak. So during the lockdown, everything's stopped.
Do you wear a face nappy, John LeBon? Do you wear a face nappy?
Only if I have to. Like, I have to get into some place. And then as soon as you get in, you just take it off.
You take it off? Okay. Because I can't ooh when I've got one.
No, it's terrible.
Look, you think funny, but...
What about the Joker? Did he wear one?
No.
No, yeah, well, I mean, that was I wore that face paint for a reason. That was for a reason when I went to Sydney.
Is the face paint still on, by the way? Did you get it off?
No, it all came off. The Dulux. I love the Dulux. That was you being very, very funny. Yeah. The Dulux. It did come off. It only took 3 days to get it off. Yeah. So thanks for that.
You're all right, mate.
You're right, mate. Yeah.
But yeah, no, Rollo's definitely not pretending to be drunk. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah. No. When I'm drunk, I'm drunk. And the boys will be in by the I've just heard back. Yeah. The boys will be in later. We'll get Bella set and we'll get the golden skid mark.
Okay.
Yeah.
This occasion does deserve it, Rollo. This is like the first Saturday show of... since the 19-year anniversary of the big event.
9/11.
Hey, John LeBon, can you just do your impression, your impression of the
plane went in and
I witnessed
the Harley guy.
The Harley guy.
Yeah, come on, do it.
I saw this plane come out of nowhere and ream into the side of the Twin Towers, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse. One first and then the second. Mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
That's a fucking classic. I tell you what I watched the other day, the guy from Infinite Plane Society. And he had some video footage. I should have shared it. Where you saw the second tower, when the explosion...
Oh, that was terrible. That was really fake. That was really fakely done. That was terrible footage. Oh, it's ridiculous.
But the least of what I was saying in the video was that there was no plane to blow the building up.
I know, but it was pathetic footage. It's obviously...
So how can we win here? How can we win if you're saying...
Yeah, good that point. How can we win, Ab,
if you're saying that the...
Win?
Building
what's the win? We've already lost on that one.
So you're saying there was a plane that went into the building, are you?
I didn't say that. You just said that. Why are you putting words in my mouth? I'm saying that all this footage is part of the simulation. It's just more
Howard Stern or John Laws would say. There were no planes that day. What are you saying? That was fake footage.
The only thing that happened is the building was demolished by controlled demolition, Incorporated of Phoenix, Maryland. They're the only one. That's the only real thing that happened. We didn't get to see it. It would have been fantastic because all of controlled demolition videos are fantastic.
Why have you not posted any new controlled demolition footage?
Actually, because YouTube doesn't send emails anymore. So I don't know. Yeah, no more emails from YouTube. Did you not know that?
Okay, keep going.
So what happens is you got to go to the notification part. I'm sure there might be. I forget. You know, when I have I got 300 channels I subscribe to on YouTube, so I have to look at the latest feed, and I get, like anyone else, you get sidetracked because you look at 10 videos and then you forget to keep going backwards. But you're right. I bet you controlled demolition has been blowing up some stuff, and I haven't seen anything lately. But I'll have to go to their channel directly. And that's hard to remember. Yeah. You have a 5,000 channels.
It's easy to get sidetracked. Scott Baio sidetracked me for 20 minutes today. And Scott Baio, oh my God. He's 60 years old. He looks younger than bloody, you there, Rick. He looks younger than you.
Oh man.
Let's talk about the Jellison Bee project. Do you think that was real?
Maybe. I think it's another huge misdirection.
I think it's the best example ever that the whole place was empty and they demolished it.
Yeah, if they were videoing. In the World Trade Center, Rick, you're a movie guy. You can recreate a set anywhere.
Yeah, but if you cut a chunk out of a building and build this platform and then allow people to come out and
Rick, we don't know if that was really at the World Trade Center.
Have you seen the book, though?
I looked at the whole thing back in the day. It's not interesting to me because it's misdirection from the main picture.
I know nothing about Jellison Bee. John Levon, what do you know about Jellison Bee?
Why do you keep interrupting Rick and then throwing to me? Like, Rick is trying to say something.
I'm just happy to sit here and listen.
Because that's what the show's all about, John. Have you not figured it out? This is RoloStrainWreck.com.
It's not a train wreck. Now, I'm trying to say to Ab, why do you keep pushing the Jellison Bee as being a hoax when it's the best ever?
I am not pushing it. I don't push it. You bring it up. If you bring it up all the time, you're pushing it. I'm not pushing it.
I am just putting it aside as more misdirection. It's a $400 US book that you can get on the internet that shows
you. Well, why don't you buy it? Why don't you buy it and read it and let us know?
Well, do I need to? I think it's a pretty genuine article.
I bought Judy Wood's book right after I started this.
I barely cracked it open.
I only kept it because I actually tried to donate it to my library, but they wouldn't take it.
Look, Judy Wood, at the time, I thought it was real.
For about 1 week, I was certain it was real.
Ed. Judy Wood is a hoax. There is no D-U-W.
Judy Wood is definitely controlled opposition. I agree 100%.
Yeah, okay. 100%.
Didn't you donate that book to your local library or...
I tried to get them to buy it at the time because I didn't want to buy it myself. I wanted them to buy it so I could borrow it. I wish that went through, but they wouldn't do it.
What we're talking about is the Jellison Bee art project is real. It's a book. It's $400. It shows you the towers were empty.
Why don't you buy it?
change the subject. Don't change the subject. Why are you?
No,
why
I'm talking. Why don't you buy this yelling bill? Why don't you do a book report on it? Did you ever do a book report in school when you were in New Zealand with the sheep?
Yeah.
I don't care about it.
Because why are you defending the jealousy?
I'm not defending.
Yes,
you're projecting some very negative energy onto me, Rick. Do I have to get Dave J in the room? Do I have to get Dave J in the room and give you a beatdown? I think you need a beatdown.
Andrew Carrington, Hitchcock here. Andrew Carrington, Hitchcock here. Hey, what's skeleton me? What's skeleton me?
Shut up. Why is... Now, Dave J can't beat me down. He tried, and SMJ at the same time. When I was arguing, I had one hand on my phone, and I beat both those cunts because they couldn't argue with me. Because I said, we were there.
Rick, why are you promoting Gelatin Bean?
Because it's real. It's exposing the people that did that operation. And you are defending
What is it exposing? Tell us. You're boring the shit out of me, unless you tell me. Give me some information.
Listen. Are you wearing a little round thing?
I really do feel like I've got
Rollo.
The 5G, the 5G towels. The 5G towels, Rick.
Rollo, shut the fuck up.
The 5G towels are giving me COVID-19.
Rollo, I'm just asking, why does Ab not like me mentioning Gelatin Bee Art Project?
Gelatin Bee. I don't even know what Gelatin Bee.
Well,
what
you're mentioning
gelatin?
It. You're not saying anything.
It is carte blanche who ran that operation.
Okay.
What operation?
The towers falling down. Your site. Your main favorite thing. 911 was run by
9/11.
Rick. Why do you never say 9/11?
Rick.
9/11.
Because 9/11. He loves to misdirect.
I'm not this...
Okay, stop saying 911. Nobody calls it 911.
Why are you defending...
Rick, why are you not
jealousy
making a point?
You're not making a point. But you're covering up the jealousy.
I'm not covering anything.
Let's give... Joe LeBron, another crack. Does he know anything about Gelatin Bee?
I don't know what's going on. Is this like a little, is this cake?
Hey, come on,
going on here. That's what it seems like.
I don't think
I've
it's a prank.
I don't even know what Gelatin Bee is. I've never heard of this thing before.
Are you serious, John LeBron?
Couldn't be more serious if you paid me. I don't know.
All right, Gelatin Bee is the Israeli art project that hide out...
It's an Israeli thing.
They hide out level 91 of the towers a year before. They built...
1991, there you go, yeah.
They built a platform. They hired a helicopter to fly around, filming them, jumping, pretending to jump out of the building. The book costs $400 online right now, if you want to buy it, US, and it shows empty towels, all air conditioning ducts removed, the flooring removed. It's bang on right. The buildings were hollowed out and ready to be demolished.
No, everyone agrees with that. That's here, I think. Everyone agrees with all that.
Well, then why is everyone saying that I'm making a story up?
Everything you say, you're telling us what we're saying and we don't say it. So why are you misrepresenting us?
You are
telling us what we think.
Okay, but
you
can
are
you guys
being
be
very,
can you,
very deceitful obvious, right now. You are being
right,
very
can you guys,
right now.
Isn't it obvious who you
guys would just be quiet for a second?
No.
I want to do a couple of rest in pieces. Gelatin Bee. Who do we lose today? We lost Diana Rigg today. Diana Rigg.
Don't bring death into the room. You do this every time.
Diana Rigg, she lived a long life.
We don't need death.
And a guy, I thought it was Steve-O.
Hey, Rollo, who was born today? Could you do that? who is born today? Go crack open your newspaper and read the birth announcements. I'd be more interested in that.
Yeah, that's much more interesting. Yeah.
Who is born today? Anybody? Is anyone born today in Newcastle?
Gelatin B.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, he doesn't like talking about Gelatin B. Why don't you want to talk about Gelatin B, Ed? Why don't you want
because
me to talk about
Rick, you're coming across as a deceptive agent right now. I'm just going to say it.
What? I'm just like,
you're really
it's a published
through.
Book. Ab, it's a published book where the towels were empty. Why don't you want to talk about it?
Because you're not, you've made your point. You're not making any points.
Oh,
we
okay.
know.
All right.
Well,
okay,
I have highlighted on Master Fake Theater.
All right, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Hey, Rick,
towers.
What's in your hand?
So what are you
Gelatin
trying to say?
Gelatin B art project book.
All right, what's in your hand?
You've said it 10
what's
times without making a point. If it was
what's
important, John LaVon made a video about
what's
it
in
by now.
Hand? What's in your hand?
Well, why is it John LaVon made a video about it yet?
You know, they sell those.
He's got a tiger beer in his hand.
But
let,
it's almost
let,
finished.
Let,
so I have to go. I want to go and have some dinner and get another beer and come back.
Oh,
right now,
don't,
right?
leave, don't leave. Don't
no,
leave.
I have to because I'm hungry, man. I haven't eaten all day. I've just been sitting here.
What's What's for dinner, Johnny?
There's a nice restaurant down the bottom, and it's like local food, and you can get like all the food, like all the meat, all the vegetables, all the rice you could possibly want for about $4 US, $5 US.
Awesome.
It's crazy.
Awesome.
So what
so
are you going to
get some of that?
What are you going to eat?
They've got like, they cook it, you can do two things. You need to just order off the menu, or they also have like a thing where they have all the food pre-prepared, and you just choose what you want, and you just sort of point at it, and they put it on the plate. So I'll probably get a piece of chicken, a whole ton of beans, a whole ton of their little salad thing that they have. I don't know what you call it. The rice with pineapple.
Thing.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's like carrots, cucumber, some weird spices. I don't know. I don't know what you call it.
Mm.
And then also, what else have they got? Oh, they've got the rice with the pineapple and the corn in it. I think they call it biryani or something. I love that shit. Now, I think eating fat, between us, like, I've probably put on, in the last 2 months, I've probably put on 10, 15 pounds? I'm not proud of it. Like,
whoa,
it's just,
why?
Oh, yeah.
What's pounds in kilos? Come on.
About 5 kilos. About 5 kilos, Rollo. About 5 kilos.
Are you not exercising? What are you doing?
No, I'm still exercising. Like, I'm probably getting a little bit bigger in the upper body, but most of that 5 kilos would be fat. I'm not proud of it. I'm happy about it, but, oh well.
But why?
It is what it is, mate.
Because
I'm eating too much food. Come on.
Are you still doing MMA, pushing up on your weight?
You're giving Rollo a run for his money.
Rollo's not fat.
He's still doing weight exercises, Jono, are you still doing weight exercises?
Yeah, man. I'm probably some of the weight that I've put on.
Hold on a sec.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Once in a while, one of us wakes up. It's not supposed to happen, but it does.
Once in a while, one of us wakes up. It's not supposed to happen. Who do I attribute that quote to?
Dark City.
It's from Dark City, exactly. Which was a sister film of The Matrix, which Rick would know better than me. They even used some of the same sets.
Rick, you worked on that.
They used the exact same set. And
did Rick work on The Matrix?
No, the Dark
City.
Emma, Dark City. But I'll just tell you this, John. As you get older, you'll discover that everything is harder. And from 30 something or other, I discovered my stomach.
I'm softer.
Not everything is harder.
No, sorry, that doesn't get harder. So you got to work on that as well. You put on weight on your stomach from about 30. Something or other onwards, and then afterwards everything starts.
For me, it was late 40s. I lasted until my late 40s before my tires started to grow.
Yeah, it's just tougher. The older you get, the tougher it is to have the beautiful body.
I completely agree.
There's nothing to look forward to.
I totally agree. Yeah. I understand.
Well, look, listen, I'm very vain and been a body conscious person for many years, and I have to work very hard, very hard and not
to get it away from your.
And you do a physical job though. You do a physical job, Rick, so you got a much better chance of staying.
Yeah, I do, but it's not quite like it used to be. But in the day,
but you're moving all day. You're not sitting in front of a screen pumping out YouTube videos, which is definitely not good for your.
It's just
you do a physical job. You're moving your, you're painting and cleaning, and that's all physical. That's good stuff.
It's got to be. But I don't know how. Like if I drove. I would be eating. I want to eat sweet things all the time, but I managed to stop myself.
Yeah, me too.
You've got to stop
yourself. When I got out of the station, and we're there in Sydney, there at the town hall, and who actually Joe from New Zealand did the meme where she flew the plane into the Sydney Tower.
Yeah,
that was built what in 1975, wasn't it? I used to be able to whizzle around on that thing. Remember?
Nineteen eighty something or other.
No. It was in the '70s, wasn't it?
No.
Was it the '80s? Was it?
Okay. 82.
Okay. And what were you talking about before off air? Let's do some off air talk.
Just before you do, I've got to go, guys. I'll be back in about 40 minutes, all right? So you guys have a good show. I'll be back in 40. Hopefully you're still here, but if you're not, it's always nice talking to you.
Yeah, we'll be back.
And all the rest of it.
JohnLeBond.com. JohnLeBond.com. Yeah, George Lazenby. We were talking about that before off air. He had the bum chin. He somehow managed to... He was Australian that blagged his way to be a dun 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 James Bond.
And not a very good James Bond in my mind, really, but apparently.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, it was on Her Majesty's...
Secret Service,
that's right. And because we were talking about Diana Rigg dying today as well.
Can I just say this? Emma Peel or Diana Rigg would be my perfect woman. She had a dark complexion, long dark hair, and just sexy.
Yeah.
Like that. Mm. And she's dead at 82.
It reminded me of my mother. Reminded me of my mother. My mother was Joanna Lumley. I mean, you were talking about Patrick McNee in the Avengers, right?
No, that's the new Avengers. That was the new after Avengers. The old Avengers.
Yeah, afterwards. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Good show though.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, my favorite, one of my favorite shows was, what was it? It was the Patrick McGowan one. It was the Prisoner.
Fantastic.
Mm. I liked it. Patrick McGowan. They're all gone now. I mean, there you go. I mean, we all have to die. I mean, Rick, are you going to live forever?
Yes. Oh, no. Yes, I am. I'm not dying at all.
Rollo, would you...
What about Joe Laws? Are you going to live forever?
Rollo, I just figured out a great Christmas present you can buy Rick.
Yeah, for sure. What?
A gelatin bee.
What?
Can you buy him that gelatin bee book?
$400. $400.
That's not much.
Hey, you know what? I think he might do.
And Rick could do a whole book report on it. He could do a whole show on it, and then John the Bond could do a video. Why not?
Hey, don't worry. That's actually a possibility. That's a good idea. Well, I think it's a great idea.
I know,
all right, guys. Hey, Ab. We've got to be here for another 40 minutes because John the Bond says he's coming back. So, I don't know why. Because he enjoys that come. He enjoys our company.
Yeah.
He enjoys our company. Yeah. I enjoy your company every Saturday night.
How much is gas today in Australia?
Oh, good. Sydney.
About $1.23 for the cheapest shit.
Well, here in Newcastle, it's $1.07.
Oil went right down. It's the lowest I can see here is 88 cents.
They're gouging. And you know why you're asking that question? Because of Chris Kendall. Chris Kendall was always brought that up. Yeah, and let's raise our glasses. Ready? Everybody do a chink. All right. One to Chris Kendall, one to David Crow, and one to Diana Rigg.
Oh, she was beautiful. She was beautiful.
Yeah, she was. Exactly. I never met her. I never met her, but I would love to have bumped
into her when I was younger, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. What would you? Would you have bumped uglies with her?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you would.
Let's move on.
So media, fakery, government, science, pop culture. Where else are we going to go from here? We already discussed Scott Baio. What about Moby? Moby, is Velocet here? Is he, can he play it for us?
No, he's not here.
That was my best friend's wedding. All right. Okay, let's just go back to 9/11. It is the anniversary this week of 9/11. Like, yesterday, here in Australia, yeah. I mean, that's the reason we're all talking now.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you on 9/11, Rick?
Sitting at home, watching it on TV. Mm-hmm. And I was watching it and I was like, I was shocked, but not shocked. You know, I thought they probably deserve what they're getting. I believed what I was seeing. You know, there was a plane going. I believe it. But then,
Me too. I was on the internet that day. I couldn't get through to any of the websites. They were all just overloaded. The internet was not that robust at the time.
No, it wasn't. That was I remember thinking, they deserve that because of Vietnam and all the things they've done to other countries. But then
blowback. We called it blowback.
And then I thought, 11, Giants 11 on September the 11th gets knocked down. And I thought, there's something strange about that. You know, like, it's very symbolic, you know, it was the 11th.
You thought of that?
I did, absolutely, because I was waiting for some kind of end of the world event anyway, you know. I thought something
strange would happen.
But,
Doomer, eh? Are they called doomers?
I'm a doomer. A doomer way back. And then...
I think you still are a bit of a doomer, Rick.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
And then I heard...
you still think bad things are going to happen.
Well, that certainly happened to a lot of other people that are trying to run their business or, you know...
I agree.
So...
I agree. Then I heard
Mel Gibson said his father told him that they were remote-controlled planes and they had no control and they just went in there. And I thought, that's possible, remote-controlled planes. I knew there was something dodgy, and then...
Rick, what was Mel Gibson's father's first name, do you know?
Yeah, I do know, actually.
It was Kel. K-E-L.
K-E-L,
really? Keep going. I didn't mean to knock you off the...
No, Kel and Mel? Are you kidding me?
No.
What was the mother's name? Bell?
Possibly.
Kel won Sale of the Century. You know, the guy was he was a genius when it came to trivia.
What was
Sale of the Century with now?
What was Michael Hutchence's father's name?
Michael Hutchence's father's name. Mike. That's a good question.
Kel.
It was Kel as well.
Another Kel?
There you go.
Kel as well? Kel.
Who ran Sale of the Century here in Australia? It was basically Tony Barber, right?
Tony Barber.
And then after that, it was that wonderful...
What is Sale of the Century?
Rick, can you tell?
Sale of the Century was a TV game show.
Yeah, a trivia game show.
Rollo, what's the Australian number? Can you look it up? I want you to memorize it.
1-300-564-652.
No, Fakeologist.com/contact. Fakeologist.com/contact.
All right, okay. I know it's a George Orwell number, isn't it? Can you say it to me, and I'll read it back.
666-1984.
666-1984. There we go. I've written that down. 666. Why'd you pick 666? 666, the number of the beast.
I think so. Yep.
That's why. Yeah. I wanted to get,
Well, the band I remember, 666, what is his name? Bruce Dickinson would never sing that when, they were doing it live. What was that? Iron Maiden, wasn't it? Iron Maiden?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you were a big fan of Tony Iommi, weren't you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, different band. That's right. That's Ozzy Osbourne. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is lovely that he picked the name Ozzy Osbourne. What's his real name? He's not Ozzy. Is
John Osbourne.
John Osbourne, yeah.
Yeah. And I met his son, Louis Osbourne, at a nightclub.
And wow. Didn't you meet Lemmy from...
I
just picked up one of his cigarettes or something.
No, I didn't. I just saw him spit a cigarette and a whole lot of people jumped at the cigarette and I thought, geez, this guy's going to be...
Rick, Roll, let's review fakeologist.com. Can we do that?
Sure.
A little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Roll.
Thank you, Donald. Where's our producer? Where's Benoit tonight?
Benoit apparently thought we were lying about what we saw last weekend.
Was that Ben? Or was it,
DJ?
No. Lying about me being drunk, or that was DJ?
That was a general thing. They just didn't believe what we said we saw. And I thought, well, if you want to think that, good on you. But I trust you, Rollo. Trust
yeah.
Because I met you, and if you say you're drunk, and I'm watching you drinking champagne, you're drunk.
Mm.
And I'll...
Well, let's just go through what we saw last week again. And remember, Ab, thank you for posting last week's Saturday night show.
What's on fakeologist.com/blog? And what's on the phone? I need the Sydney phone number. Tell me if it's a good one.
1-300-564-652.
No.
13-13-32.
You're like a short-circuiting robot.
1-3-1-4-4. 1-3-1-4-4.
Check it out. Go to fakeologist.com.
Look, let me give you all the phone numbers. Ready? I'm going to give you all the phone numbers. Because, Rick and you, Ab, last Monday, I had the cops rock up on my bloody doorstep again. Again!
I'm not bullshitting.
Because I rang Lifeline, which is 131. It's 13, 11, 14. And they're concerned about me. I don't know why. I hate myself. I hate myself more than anyone in this world. And you've got Anastasia Palaszczuk, you've got Gladys Berejiklian, you've got goddamn Scott Morrison. They don't give a shit. Dan Andrews. You got all these politicians. Why the hell would you want to be a politician? Have you ever wanted to be one, Rick?
No.
You ever wanted to be one?
No, yeah. Never.
Disgusting. They rip us off all our money. Like all the money.
Read the blog.
Yeah.
Read the blog.
Yeah. You said they were trying to take $40,000 off of you, Ab, earlier.
Read the blog.
They want to give him $40,000.
All right, calm down, Rollo. Read the blog. They're going nuts on us.
Read the blog.
All right, I'll just give you a few more phone numbers. Ready? Okay. I'm going to give you 1-800. 1-800-333-000. 1-800-333-000.
Rollo, I think you've hit the wall again tonight. I think you better. you're really out of it now.
What?
I think you better stay good night, Dick.
What's 1-800-333-000?
Okay, Rollo, I want you to touch your nose with the tip of your finger.
I'm touching it. I'm touching it. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to go there.
So. All right. I think we're going to have to go.
Yeah. Because
no, we don't have to go. You don't have to go.
Then touch your nose then.
I'll mention anything else you want to talk about. Whatever else you want to touch.
No.
I've asked you 10 times to read the blog.
All right. Hold on. Give me a sec. I'm going to go to, do you want me to go to fakeologist.com? Or do you want me to go to fake HQ?
I'm going to roll.
All right. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Donald. Okay. So, this is two. All right. You still there, Rab?
I'm here.
Okay, mate. Okay, we're going to go to the blog, right? Fakeologist.com. Let's do it. FKE. Fakeologist.com, there we go. Alright, now Ab, tell me how to, now, what's the first thing we see? Can I read it for you? If you believe the coronavirus, COVID-19,
fakeologist.com for... All right, well, that's just the corona page that you land
on.
No,
can I read it? So what people would see, coronavirus hoax 2020. Okay. If you believe the coronavirus, COVID-19, is a real disease and people are dying and spreading disease at an exponential rate, the best contact is your local health department, or find the WHO's website. WHO's. Yeah, which is the WHO. Yeah. If you think this is a hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real, or hashtag HARDPAR, which is HRDPAR, with the real events and real consequences occurring because of central unprovable lie, then click here. So we'll click there. All right. Here we go.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
Big shout out to Rush. Unfortunately...
There was a story about Geddy Lee not being well. Can you punch in Geddy Lee?
Oh, no.
No, I don't know.
Let me read this.
Punch in Geddy Lee for us, Geddy Lee.
Let me just read this first. This is off from fakeologist.com. Ready? The biggest enemy of humanity today isn't a virus. It isn't even those in power who act like viruses. It's the scientific fraud known as the germ theory. Remove that and you will take away your controller's ability to use health terrorism to control us. Sol Luckman, crowrising.com. There you go, Ab. Yeah, I love Rush too, by the way.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Neil Peart, Geddy Lee, and what was his name? Alex Lyson. Yeah. the best three-piece band that ever came out of Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You're from the North Shore of Lake Ontario. You're in Toronto, so yeah.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to getting down here one day?
I was until you guys really turned up the heat. Now I'm concerned.
Nah, it's okay. Don't worry. It's like Howard Stern, you know. It's Howard Stern. Last Saturday night show, it reminded me of Howard Stern. And that guy is a stooge or a shill, whatever you call it, for, you know, wearing
Sellout.
And by the way, we haven't brought Craigbot in the room, so hopefully your bot is actually recording us okay.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah. No worries. No, hope is not a strategy. When what's his name? The guy from Florida, Pass Value. When he came into the room and him and Belisette had a bit of a back and forth, that was my favorite part of, that's the only time I don't listen back really to,
You like the controversy, don't you?
Not so much. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, no. Yeah. But the controversy, yeah. Controversy. How do you say the word?
I had a lot of hits on the website yesterday looking for Howard Stern. They came to the Howard Stern post on fakeologist.com. Now, Google and the rest of them, they won't tell me what people were searching for. They stopped doing that information exchange years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing people were punching in Howard Stern 9/11 and Fakeologist came up because I think I linked to the show.
Mm.
But, yeah, Howard Stern.
He was a shill. He was a shill. He was a shill.
He still is.
He's a shill for...
He's a shameless propagandist.
Yeah, he's shameless.
He's a shameless propagandist for 9/11. He's a shameless provoker and promoter of degenerate things that people like to look at and talk about. He is a promoter of, I would say, breaking up the family by promoting pornography. He's a promoter of possibly transgenders, which is another anti-family.
Well, Ab, can I bring up something that I watched?
He might even be married to a very good-looking transgender, maybe. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. Ab, can I bring up something that I watched during the week? Can I bring up something that I watched during the week?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So during the week, Netflix dropped a thing called Minettes, called Cuties, and we spoke about it 2 weeks back.
Did you watch it?
It's a French... Yeah, I did. I watched it from start to finish.
How long is it? Is it a series or a
it's
show?
It's about an hour and a half. About an hour and a half.
Oh, it's just a single show?
One show, yeah. Yeah. It's
okay,
called,
go ahead.
It's a French production. It's called Minette.
Very controversial. We're told it promotes pedophilia. Is that
yes.
true?
What? Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Oh, God.
In my opinion, I looked at it and I went, this is a disgrace. This is a disgrace.
It suckers you in.
It suckers you in. It suckers you in because, have you seen the movie called, let me think about it. There's a wonderful film called The Sixth Sense, right? With Bruce Willis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you know that film? You're with the Haley Joel Osment?
I see dead people.
You know it well. And, this one's almost the same. I did like The Sixth Sense, but this one suckers you in a little bit the same. It's when you see 11-year-olds twerking and grinding the ground. It's no good. It's no good. And but there you've got people like the guy from not the New Yorker. What's his name? Scott. I've forgotten his name. But they're like Hollywood promoting this. It's like they're trying to. It's like this COVID-19. They're promoting this thing, just the same as paedophilia. They're promoting
the fact that you can't
ruin
the fact that they're making it a controversial thing and it's just promoting it. What happened in the movie? What is the main thing that went on in the movie? What's it about?
Well, she the young 11-year-old she just. Like, obviously, it's a family breakup. So there's a family breakup. And, and it's, and, the 11-year-old, what does she know? She doesn't know shit. And she's a Muslim, right? So she's a Muslim and Muslims have, what do you call it? They're very strong in their, this is, you have to read this book every day. I think it's, what's the name of the book?
The Quran.
Yeah, thank you, Ab. And she doesn't want to do that. She wants, and she saw some of her friends, and the 11-year-old friends, and then they go on, like, I think what Benoit
Where
said,
do they go? Right. What happens? Where do they go? What happens?
They go, and they get promoted by the mother, on the casting couch. Basically, onto the casting couch is basically where they go. Yeah. You know, like, what was his name? Rick actually shook his hand. What's his name?
Roman Polanski?
No, not Roman Polanski, the other one. The one that did,
But what happened? Oh, the on. Mother of who
how,
was
how,
there?
The Weinstein. And I think Weinstein.
I know,
yeah,
but,
I mean,
but what mother goes where? What are you talking about? So if she doesn't want to read her Quran, what happens next?
So the girls all get together and then, that they start a twerking group. Twerking. Do you know what twerking does?
Okay.
Is
they start shaking their butts.
Yes, exactly. 11-year-olds.
Okay. And then what? Yeah. And then what?
Well, and then they become really good friends, and they don't become famous or anything like that, but it's just, I guess it's
so how does
like,
twerking
say I went
lead
to,
into pedophilia?
Say I went... Go.
How does twerking become pedophilia? What are we talking about?
Well, it's not pedophilia, but it just doesn't seem right to me. I mean, let people get old naturally.
Okay, is there a real controversy here, or is this a manufactured
Not really.
Controversy to push the show?
Can I put my wife on? Can I put my wife on?
Did she watch it?
Give me a sec. Yeah, of course she did. We watched it together. You still there, mate? Wife. Can you tell me what you thought about last night? Just please about that movie last night. No, not a chance. Okay. Sorry. No. Ab, you still there, mate?
Yeah. What did she say?
She said, "Go away, Swish." She doesn't want to be associated with
you?
With us. No,
wow.
No, I mean, it's okay. No, not psychologists. I mean, yeah, do you remember the show Seinfeld, Worlds Colliding?
No.
Well, there was a show called Seinfeld and Worlds Colliding, Jerry.
worlds colliding. Yeah. So I shouldn't. Anyway, I did watch the whole film, and yeah. Apparently,
what,
the casting couch. Minettes. It's called Cuties. Cuties. It's on Netflix. That's all. I mean, I'm just trying to say it was against young children being using sexualizing their bodies, but I'm not a father, Ab, but you are. You understand?
I've understood it for a while now.
Watch it yourself, mate. Watch it yourself and see if you, when my mother and father got divorced, it was one of the worst things in my life, and
you talk to your mother?
I'm going on a tangent now, Yeah,
you
and
never speak of
need,
your mother, you speak of your father.
Well, my father's, yeah, my mother was the hardest one of me, of my,
Was she still alive?
No, she died a couple of years ago.
Oh, right,
but
I'm sorry,
father,
yeah, she gave you the car.
Yeah, that's okay, don't worry.
Sorry,
you still got both your parents, so I remember when you said that your mother didn't want to talk to you because, without a face mask or was worried about COVID.
Oh, yeah, it's still going on.
Unbelievable.
It's dividing families all over the world.
Isn't it just?
It's crazy.
I remember when I first came back to psychologist after, I went, unbelievable that you and your parents couldn't be in the same room. You know, that it's just unbelievable that, how people believe this bullshit. Anthony Fauci's a scumbag. I was watching a thing the other day, actually, by the way. The AIDS epidemic. What the hell happened to that? It's the biggest fucking lie ever happened. The biggest fucking lie. The AIDS epidemic. Right. What a scumbag Anthony Fauci is. Just smoke another cigarette, eh? What do you reckon? Should I go rant on my own? Oh, I don't know if I'm still in the room. Check. Anthony Fauci. What a fucking scumbag. Let's do our big... Oh, John LeBron's still in the room. G'day, John. Yeah.
No, I just got back.
He'll be back.
Seems like
G'day,
I've
mate.
Missed quite
John,
a bit.
John, sorry, I was getting a little bit sad there. No, you're going to cheer me up now. Let's talk about it. They'll be in later, hopefully. If they're not, they've died of COVID.
I think it's
29:30.
They've
died of COVID-19. All right, keep going.
I think the party's over, man. It's a bit disappointing.
No. Let's talk serious. Serious? No joking here. So, how was your swim? All good?
I'm going to go for a swim. I won't have dinner.
How was your dinner? What did you have?
I just had some food, mate. So where is everybody? What's going on here?
You've got to wait until people come in the room. I can't demand people come in and go out. I was just having a little bit of a whinge about this COVID-19 nonsense, and I was talking to Ab about, what was I talking about? Oh yeah, when my mother died. I'm glad my mother never got to see this. Go, Ab. John, JLB.
Old Royce Radio. Are you talking?
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to get...
John LeBron was just asking where...
Oh,
where
sorry, John LeBron's back. Everyone,
yeah,
that boost. It's been a half-assed show, Johnny.
It does seem that way, to be perfectly frank.
Where is Frank? Where
is
he? Announced the soul per se. Where is he?
I think he's in Geelong.
Okay, yeah, hey, JLB, can you play some tunes?
Nah. I might swing through here another hour or so and see if there's people here. It would be disappointing if there's not.
Okay.
Cheers, guys.
Oh, there you go. He's gone. There you go.
I'm going to play something.
It's just, yeah, can you play me? What are you going to play me?
I'm going to play Can you play the Tom Hanks?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, I'll listen to it.
Guess what it's about?
From Fake Tube? Fake Tube. Is it from Fake Tube or not?
It's on YouTube.
Yeah. Let's listen.
It's about your favorite guy you were just talking about.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
Welcome to Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, editor-in-chief, and sometimes chief cook and bottle washer. I have to wear a lot of hats around here, as you might imagine, but I love doing these broadcasts to communicate with you things that I've learned and important things that need to be said. There's an old maxim that I've used frequently over the years, and I'm sure that somebody's going to roll their eyes when I say it, but you cannot know what you do not know. And I get a lot of emails, a lot of people communicating with me that clearly do not know what's going on. They think they understand something about Technocracy, but they really don't. And they just don't have a clue. But I tell them, if you do a little reading, listen to some interviews that I've done perhaps, and listen, read some of my material, some of my books, whatever, you'll find out what it's all about. And you can go forward to that. Well, there's a maxim, there's a corollary to you cannot know what you do not know, and that is you cannot fight an enemy that you cannot see. You cannot hit the target that you cannot see. If we're ever going to have any pushback against these technocrats around the world, it's going to be because we are finally...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
...to be dispatched. And when I be dispatched, I don't mean...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
...to be run out of the public policy arena.
Jim. Because this is Jim Bezzer, right?
A lot of these people, I believe, are just stark, raving melomaniacs who just can't get control of the world out of their mind. It reminds me a little bit of a cartoon, cartoon back in the 90s called
Pinky
and the Brain. If you've never watched Pinky and the Brain, you go to Netflix or look it up. Might have to pay
Patrick Wood.
You'll find out what it is when somebody has on their mind every single day how they're going to conquer the world and subject the world to their own will. Well, this is Technocracy. And we're going to cover a couple of articles today, and I want you to see these articles for what they are. We're going to talk about
Patrick Wood
again. He's just one of the most visible people that's in the news constantly, even though he's
run
out of the White House as an official advisor. He's still in the South, and he has a big platform to speak from. And he still has quite a bit of influence in our nation. So in this particular article, it's titled, Fauci Looks to the UN, that's the United Nations, to rebuild the infrastructure of human existence. Can you imagine an ego so large? Now, you know, he's stepping outside of the medical field, isn't he? It used to be he just was concerned, he told us, about the medical stuff, about vaccines, about saving lives and stuff like that. But that's not enough for him. It's too small. He wants to rebuild the infrastructure of human existence. Wow. This is like a bigger thing than you ever heard. How could somebody propose the rebuilding of the infrastructure of human existence? Well, this paper he wrote with another scholar says exactly this. And I want to show you the paper I'm going to draw from here. This is what it looks like. It's called Emerging Pandemic Diseases, How We Got to COVID-19. Now, The Cell is a leading journal, usually for containing medical publications. In this case, it goes a little bit further because it's pandering to the United Nations. And so the article, or the paper, was written by Anthony Fauci, co-authored, and also David Morins. Now, the fact that Fauci's name on it is as a co-author means that every single word is just as much his as it is the other author's. So don't start carping and say, well, did he write this paragraph or did he write some other paragraph and maybe that's not what he really said? He would not have put his name on it if he didn't fully believe it, even if he did not personally write these words. But here's my comments at the top of this article that I want you to see. Dr. Anthony Fauci is a United Nations wolf in sheep's clothing, telling America why it is so important to save lives from the dreaded COVID-19 virus while pandering for the most radical parts of the United Nations agenda for the world. That is sustainable development, aka technocracy. In his paper, which I just showed you, called Emerging Pandemic Diseases, How We Got the COVID-19, he wrote the following paragraph. Now, this is just amazing. We'll pick it apart a little bit. Living in greater harmony with nature will require changes in human behavior. Social engineering, a primary goal of technocracy. Changes in human behavior, as well as other radical changes, mind you, that may take decades to achieve. This is a long-term program. Rebuilding the infrastructures of human existence. Wow. From cities to homes to workplaces to water and sewer systems to recreational and gathering venues. In such a transformation, we will need to prioritize changes in those human behaviors that constitute risks for the emergence of infectious diseases. Chief among them are reducing crowding at home, work, and in public places, as well as minimizing environmental perturbations such as deforestation, intense urbanization, and intensive animal farming. Well, there you go. The beef industry is under attack again. Got to get rid of those evil cattlemen.
I'm loving it.
Gas-producing animals that they call cattle that grow out
there
on the range.
Yeah, he's very good.
Equally important, he says, are ending global poverty, improving sanitation and hygiene, wash your hands, and reducing unsafe exposure to
animals.
We've
always washed our hands.
So that
right,
potential human pathogens have limited opportunities for contact.
Man, me too.
This is plain evidence, that Fauci is an agent for the United Nations and that he is a self-professed social engineer who wants to rebuild the infrastructure of human existence. Why should Fauci's phony propaganda be so hard for America to understand? Well, it's because technocrats have created and leveraged fear to the whole world, making populations wide open to their suggestions, including the suggestions that they are not saying what they really mean. And people believe it. That's how Fauci can say one month, nobody should wear face masks, and next month he says, everybody needs to wear a face mask. How
exactly.
can you have both things at the same time? Well, you can't.
Yep.
To a technocrat,
cognitive dissonance.
Matter. This article, which is a very good article, I'd encourage you to read the whole thing, really gives you a snapshot of where Fauci's head is in this. He wants to control the whole world. This is a technocrat dream since the 1930s.
That's right. The guy brought...
And it's never gone away.
AIDS.
Anybody in science or engineering that gets infected with this dream, and I call it an infection because it's like a virus of the mind. Whenever a scientist or engineer gets infected with this mental virus, they all of a sudden have this idea that they are qualified and
way better than
to change the whole world.
Coleman.
All of human behavior, all of human activity.
Now he understands what's going on.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Nobody asked them to come on the stage in the first place to do this, and yet this is exactly what technocrats around the world are up to doing right now. You look at Klaus Schwab, which we're going to look at next, of the World Economic Forum. These are all the bigwigs, the global elite all around the world, represented by the giant corporations like Siemens and IBM and GE and so on. These companies are in it to completely do whatever the United Nations says to do with sustainable development. In fact, they're funding it. They're behind it. And so here we have all of the economic structure of the world up for grabs, according to the Great Reset Principle. We have people like Anthony Fauci running around saying if they want to, believe it or not, put his picture up again, rebuild the infrastructure of human existence. I will say to him and to you right now, get lost, Anthony Fauci. You have no business suggesting any such program to rebuild the infrastructure of human existence. It's working just fine without you. We don't need you. We don't want you. You have no credentials to do what you're doing, to say such a thing. Absolutely none. So get lost. That's what America needs to tell people like Anthony Fauci. Get lost. You are nuttier than a Christmas fruitcake. And you do not belong in a position of implementing public policies that will rip the world apart, not put it back together.
Fauci.
So my next story is going to kind of underscore this. The title of the story
is
World
agent.
Economic Forums.
He's a change agent. He's a definite, definitely,
now,
he's
earlier,
a bill of the
authors,
of the United States.
And researchers around the world writing about technocracy.
Bill of Melinda Gates and Nancy Fauci.
Of Technocracy News and Trends.
I think they hate human beings.
The UK, for instance.
They've got no
his mission to
love of human
not
beings.
Not only the World Economic Forum, but also the Trilateral Commission. And he does understand.
They're misanthropes.
Somewhere along the way, he read my book that I co-authored with Anthony Sutton called Trilaterals Over Washington. We wrote two volumes of that book. He probably has seen it, but in any case, he's writing great stuff. And he understands some flavor of technocracy as well. Another writer that hails from Sweden and who has become a good friend of Technocracy News and Trends, a contributing editor, if
ben
you will, is named Jacob Nordengard. Jacob is a PhD from Sweden, and he understands the global elite. He understands the whole Trilateral Commission business. He understands the United Nations, he understands technocracy, he understands the World Economic Forum, and he's writing from yet a different perspective, from Sweden. So you have the United States, me, writing about technocracy, you have Stephen Guinness in the United Kingdom, and you have Jacob Nordengard from another perspective in Sweden. And guess what? We basically are all saying exactly the same thing. The clear and present danger before us right now is technocracy. It's not the political upheaval, it's technocracy. Now, the fact that the political system is being disassembled is no surprise, because technocrats don't want any political system. They want simply to control everything from an economic point of view by algorithm. This is what they set about to do. But I wrote in this article, at the top of it, just to introduce it, global elite technocrats cannot fathom how there could be anybody or any blowback against their totalitarian dreams of utopia. Those who do resist, that would be me, are viewed as an expendable nuisance and too ignorant to know what is good for themselves. Now, I doubt that describes you either. I hope it doesn't. And by the way, if you agree with me, you could leave a thumbs up on this video right now. If you disagree, I'll know where you're coming from for sure. That if you think you are just too ignorant to know what's good for you and that you need to listen to people like Anthony Fauci or Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum, then all I can say to you is you will get what you think you deserve and you won't like it in the end, I promise.
You get what you fucking deserve!
This article, in any case, he says the corona crisis is the trigger for a global coup d'etat of monumental dimensions.
Say.
Now, how many people have said this?
Military
recently?
Medical
I
coup.
I said it first back in April.
I said it first.
I started writing about the coronavirus.
I said it in March.
It's not about your ego here, Ab. This guy is talking perfect sense.
It is the beginning of a new era, he writes, with a new international economic order. That's straight out of the language of...
Why don't people listen, Ab?
1973.
Can you pause it? Can you pause it?
That risks...
No, he's almost done. I can't because I'm driving.
Can you understand that? completely destroying human freedoms. Tyrants have now taken over to forcibly steer us into a climate smart and healthy world through the World Economic Forum's new techno-totalitarian roadmap, The Great Reset. Now, I think this is probably the third video where I've talked about The Great Reset. I cannot talk enough about it because it's the only game in town right now.
You got to get this guy on Anna Breeze. Anna Breeze.
All their chips on the table now. They know they have the wedding
hand. We've got to get
them on,
yeah.
They think they do.
We'll get them on.
They think they have the wedding hand, so they put all the chips on the table.
What's his name again, Patrick?
Okay, we are all in now.
Patrick Wood.
We've got more bets in reserve.
Wood,
we're putting everything on the table. So Jacob goes on and he describes what's going on here. He says, the aim of the partnership is to accelerate, listen to this, UN Sustainability Agenda, here it is right here, and the 17 global targets, that would be the Sustainable Development Goals that came out of the New Urban Agenda, or Agenda 2030, back a few years ago. Here's the quote, directly from the website. Meeting the Sustainable Development Goals is essential for the future of humanity. Sounds kind of like what Anthony Fauci wants to do, doesn't it? The World Economic Forum is committed to supporting this effort and working with the United Nations to build a more prosperous and equitable future. Equitable for you and me? I don't think so. Equitable for them? Sure. They're going to get all the marbles in the game before it's done. That's what they think. That's what they're doing. He says the agreement also states that the World Economic's Fourth Industrial Revolution is an important component in implementing the agenda. Digitization is seen as the key. And, of course, this is a hallmark of technocracy, digitizing everything down to the gnat's whisker, if they could. Actually, down to your DNA.
What if I don't have a smartphone?
They're after that right
now. www.psychologist.com.
If you got tested for COVID-19,
listen.
They took a swab, maybe in your nose, maybe saliva.
I don't want a swab.
They got some,
some
bio data from you when they did that. You gave them everything that they need to have to make a DNA fingerprint of you. I don't know if that happened in every case. My guess is it has happened in some cases. And so somebody in the government is building a DNA database that has all this information on everybody. And that's just ducky. I digress. he says, by declaring COVID-19 as a pandemic on March 11, the World Health Organization opened up an opportunity window for the World Economic Forum to quickly implement its new world order. Everything was very carefully prepared. And the story goes on. I'm just going to tease you with that, carefully prepared. Jacob brings this out just great. He's a great writer, very bright guy. He's a young guy too, by the way. So he has a different perspective from age versus youth, but he's looking at this. He says, there's a rat in the wood pile, and he's described it very well. I encourage you to go and read Jacob's article in full. You just need to understand and digest this so that nobody can say to you, you cannot know what you do not know. Once you see this, you're accountable to it. Once you see it, it changes everything in your worldview. And it doesn't matter, by the way, if you are a Christian with a Christian worldview, or maybe you have some other type of worldview. It will change the way you look at the world. So I encourage you to read it. And, of course, I encourage you to read everything you can, including my books on technocracy. There's just no substitute for reading the detailed information that's out there, and I encourage you to do so. But I want to leave you with this, that you can know what you do know. That's kind of another oxymoron, isn't it? You can know what you do know. And it's not hard to know.
Patrick.
It just takes open eyeballs, a slightly open mind, not so much that your brains fall out, but just an open mind to think outside of the left-right paradigm, to think outside of the political fights that are going on in the country, to put BLM and Antifa on the side table.
Not about BLM.
Either.
Hey, I got you.
Look at the bigger picture. Look at the people that are affecting policy around the entire planet. And who has the power to shut down that global economic system? They have, and it's still shut down. Who has that power except technocrats working in collusion with each other around the world, thanks to the United Nations? This is a global
not the Jews
thing that's going
not
on.
Not the Jesuits.
Not
the
just
Jews.
Local.
The
not
technocrats.
Democrat Republican issue,
the technocrats. Yeah, we got it.
Otherwise, I mean, what, can you blame the Democrats for what's going on in Europe or Africa or India or Asia? No, you can't. They have nothing to do with it. Can you blame the Republicans? Maybe you don't like Republicans. Can you blame them? Are they the ones that are doing it? No, not even remotely close. This is a global program. And these people are manipulating every nation on earth right now to usher the world into a new economic system called technocracy. Well,
I would say communism.
For Technocracy News and Trends, I just want to leave you with this thought now.
Not communism.
If you like this video, would you please give it a thumbs up?
What would you say?
And why not subscribe? You get notices and stuff.
Technocracy. It's a new word. You've got to get used to a new term.
Be my guest and tell others about
it, too.
Send out some emails. Make some phone calls. Whatever.
No, it's not. Nations are gone.
The channel, of course,
nations are
going to
be wiped out.
News Trends.
Mm-hmm.
But you can
no more nations. No more borders.
Sometimes it's occasional.
Are you kidding me?
But hey, well, I want to keep. I like my old stuff better than my new stuff.
I have a Patreon account, too, which is.
I know. You're going to have to find out
doing here and want
to remember. Sorry, Pat, to talk over you, mate.
It's found at patreon.com/technocracy. It's very easy to make us just even a small monthly donation, $2.
I'm going
to
give him some money.
Great encouragement to me.
Are you? How much?
Just to know that you're standing with me on this. It's been
$1 a month.
I will donate as much as you do.
It's been a lonely road.
No, $1 a month.
All it takes.
He knows what you're saying.
$1 a month.
People are finally starting to get it. This is just a wonderful
You're
thing.
Listening to another hour
to
of Fakeologist Audio
along.
Chat
so
on Fakeologist.com.
This video, everybody you know,
don't even
put
know
it out on social
is.
Media, wherever they'll take it and won't censor it. Just get busy. We got work to do, my friends. We'll see you next time. God bless.
All right, man. All right. Big shout out there to. Oh, sorry. Go.
This is Heroes. That was so good.
Oh, g'day, Heroes. Uncle Odd. Uncle Odd,
yeah.
How are you, mate?
I'm doing well.
I've been watching your YouTubes, and they're fantastic, mate. I really enjoyed the one. What was it? Sorry, not to brush off that fellow there. What was his name? Patrick? I forgot his last name. But it was Patrick. I was just talking to Ab before. So, Heroes, nice to hear your voice. You don't have a face mask on at the moment?
No, but I did wake up being admonished by YouTube. I got my first strike on my channel, so I can't upload videos or go live on my stream. For a week,
so I heard. Susan is it Susan Wojcicki that runs YouTube, or is that Facebook? I don't know. I can't remember, but
I think
Facebook. Okay, Joe. Oh fuck, I can't remember. I can't remember, mate. Anyway, Uncle Odd. I don't want to blow what we just played there before off. Are you back? Ab?
I'm back. Who's back?
Ab, we've got Uncle Odd here. Who was that guy again?
Uncle Odd.
Wood. Yeah.
Hey, Uncle Odd, welcome back.
Thank you. I knew I couldn't get on from home. I'm on my way to getting my ears lowered, and so I thought I'd chime in for 20 minutes, but I do want to say thank you for playing that. It's like God heard me inside say, I just want to know who they are. And that guy articulated it to a T. That was really, really awesome.
Now, what was his name again, Ab?
Ab, what was his name again?
Patrick Wood. Patrick Wood?
Patrick Wood. He's going to get...
Yes.
I'm going to put him on my list of Patreons. The guy's not that smart. He didn't put a link to his Patreon, so now I got to go look it up. So he's making me work for it.
I'm going to try to get him on, Cap.
I know you are. You are fantastic at booking guests.
Thank you, Uncle Odd
is the best. I'm very happy to be working with Uncle Odd because he does a lot of things I can't do. And now I got to find.
Uncle Odd, how's the dog doing? How's your doggy?
Thank you. You know, my dog is depressed because he can't go to the hospital to see the kids. So I got to figure another way to get him out and about. But when I take him out, it's so amazing. All of these people are so damned afraid of engagement. You know, they have their masks on. And even, what do I have to do? Put a big sign on them saying it's okay to pet me? I mean, people just, it's crazy.
Exactly. And your letters... YouTube videos have been fantastic, I swear. What's it called? Fake O-Tube with Uncle Odd, right?
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that.
They're great.
Coming from you. I know you consume a lot, so thank you.
Mm. Keep it up, mate. Keep up the good work with and if you can get that fella there, that fella on your show.
Patrick.
Because, that wonderful interview you did with that Indian, native Indian, what was that one? It was a very hard listen. It was a hard listen. Yeah. The one where, you know, talking about raping children and whatnot.
I know.
It's very, very hard listen. But, I mean, I can cope with it, but...
Well, you know what?
If we can cope with 9/11, we can cope with 9/11. Uncle Lod, what are your thoughts on 9/11? It's a... 90th anniversary. Have you got any thoughts?
So it would make Dave J. proud. He's probably lurking in the shadows, but nobody died. Nobody got hurt. There were no planes. But thinking of this morning was, it seems like there's all of these videos magically appearing that show no planes. And I'm wondering, could that be a psyop in itself? An odd kind of... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like, why now? Why are they now exposing this or allowing it to be exposed? Do you have any ideas?
Because it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter, and it's just, it doesn't matter, it doesn't hurt them. It's not a problem, because this one is dead and buried.
Okay.
Yeah, I tell you guys what I saw this week. Infinite Plane Society loaded up a video where the South Tower when it exploded, and bang, no planes. There were no planes. Bang! All it did was explode.
Right.
Yeah, it was brilliant. What's his name? Tim Osman, right?
He's so great. I was also thinking. Okay, this would definitely get me banned on YouTube. I was also thinking that if there were some real missionaries out there, you know, people who love this, not just I love America, but the ones who love the world, man, it doesn't seem like it would take too much for a group of silent assassins to go take care of some business, because I'm telling you, man, how can we sit... I'm not saying anything. This is no threat. I'm wargaming this in my mind, thinking, this is... Oh.
You broke up.
Dr. Fauci, get Clinton.
Yeah, keep going.
When does Dr. Fauci get the Clinton treatment?
What are you saying? Dr. Fauci getting the what? The Clinton treatment?
When would Dr. Fauci... See, I'm just saying, take care of the problem at the source. You know, you it's like clouds.
I don't know.
He's not the source, though. He's just a spokesperson.
But you can... I've heard slow things down.
Nah, it wouldn't even be a speed bump.
Ab. Who is the source?
It's a many-headed hydra.
Mm-hmm.
It's a system. It's not
who's
one person.
Who's the tip of the spear? Ab. Who's the tip of the spear? I'd like to know.
You don't understand. One person is not ruling this whole thing. It's a system. It's like a religion. Technocracy is another economic religion. It's a way of doing things.
Saying,
it's not.
So you're saying, Ab, that you know there were 12 apostles and they killed Jesus, and then Christianity spread across the world. You're saying if you killed the Jesus of technocracy, it would just continue to spread. That's your belief?
Oh yeah. Listen. If there's nothing to push back against it, then nature abhors a vacuum. So this one will continue to dominate unless you've got a better idea of how to run an economy. That's really what it's all about. The guys that we were listening to, I listened to a podcast that's not Fakeology called The Dumble and Dread Show. These guys threw me off. They won't talk to me, but they have such a bad case of Trump derangement syndrome that they were even musing about bad things happening to Trump, which may be in the script, I don't know, but...
Oh, what are you saying? That they're going to do a... JFK?
Well, that's how desperately they hate Trump, but getting rid of Trump will not get rid of the 50% of Americans that support him. Like me.
I like
Trump just because he wants to throw a wrench in the system. And I love people that way. That like that. He's a disruptor.
Yeah.
I think Donald Trump may not even be a disruptor, but it's the best thing that could have happened to you. Yeah.
He can only do so much.
He's got to stand up to that little Fauci guy. He's got to really be a tough guy because
America is going through a military medical coup right now. He doesn't have the people's support.
He's got my back.
The people, I would back a new belief system. And the belief system is Corona. They believe in Corona. He cannot go against the people's will. Yes, they do.
They do
believe in it.
My own daughter
is all freaked out because her boyfriend works somewhere where someone tested positive Corona. My own daughter, who's a junior fakeologist, is now worried about her own self.
How is that possible? Is she wearing a face mask? Because she can't rationalize what I say
with what reality she's being presented with. It's very hard. Children never listen to their fathers, Ab.
I've known it for years. Did you listen to your father?
I'm glad I don't, because he has drank the Kool-Aid. So is my mother. I can't deal with that.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's awful.
My wife's drunk the Kool-Aid. You know, we haven't had an argument in 15 years, and, you know, we're arguing over this boogie virus because she thinks it's...
I'm thankful to the good Lord that my wife is a naturally born skeptic, and even if she's not a 100% fakeologist, she knows this is BS, and she hates it. She hates
Same
the
Same bullshit! Same bullshit! Bullshit!
That's right. That's right. Hey, Uncle Odd, this is the first time you've been on the call and we've been on the call together with the patron of FakoTube. So we're grateful for Rolo. That was real cash, he said.
Thank you, mate.
I still got to switch that $100 Australian over. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, thank you, Rolo.
That counts. I mean, I look forward to every one of these posts that happen. It's just like, that's my go-to. Always, if
Thank
takes
you.
Priority over everything. So, it's really, really great. Thanks for the support on behalf of Ab.
Yeah, and that was a wonderful interview. Wonderful interview with that fellow, the native Canadian.
Kevin Annette.
And you were on that.
Republic of Canada.ca.
Yeah.
Canada, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, from the... Yeah.
He was great. And,
I don't know what this guy can do. I don't know what the Republic of Canada... I don't know where it's going. I don't know if it's even legal. He says it is. It's a good start. I really... But if you don't have the majority of the people on board, go ahead, Uncle Ron.
I just wanted to say, because I'm like 3 minutes from having to bolt to my haircut, but I did want to say that I'm really kind of punched in the gut that we can't live stream it, but just wait, because things end up turning out for the good sometimes.
Uncle Odd, I told you we got it set up, Restreamio. Okay,
yes.
Open up an account on Periscope, open up an account on DLive. You can even put FakoTube on there. Restreamio will live stream to all of them simultaneously. So if you get a new YouTube, you got to get that set up.
Yeah,
and that way
that
you
tomorrow.
Can get your video.
I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah,
you're right.
I know.
That's the good that's going to come of this, because that's going to finally kick me in the ass to do that. So I will do that tomorrow morning. But I'm telling you,
I think
tomorrow's live stream with Tom Barnett is going to be fantastic.
And I want to thank you, because I sent that video to my brother, who is one of my harshest critics, and he sent me back a fact check on Tom Barnett. So I'd like you to read it. And then we can show it to him, and then he can respond to it.
Oh, that's
because
great.
Because the fact checkers, funded by Gates and corporate Vaccine America, have a whole hit article on Tom Barnett.
Oh, that's great. Bring it. Yeah, send it to me.
Which that means
Uncle Odd, before you go and get your haircut.
Yes.
Can you? I'd love to hear an interview with you and maybe how about I don't know, the man himself, Trump.
Who? Trump.
Yeah.
That would be great.
But how about let's start small. Let's just go Anastasia Palaszczuk, Gladys Berejiklian, or Dan Andrews down here in Australia.
You know,
I'd
Trump
love to
always,
hear you interview them.
Trump is dropping enough clues that he's on the good side for
I
us
know.
To keep watching him.
Yeah. No, I'll put out an inquiry just for the hell of it. Let's see.
That would be fantastic to get Trump on. I think you would be reinstated on YouTube just for the interview.
Alex Jones managed it. I mean, even Joe Rogan, I would keep with you and Joe Rogan. You and Joe Rogan going back and forth, I reckon, would be awesome, too.
I don't like Joe Rogan.
Hey, guys,
Uncle Odd and Joe Rogan back and forth would be more interesting.
All right, Uncle Odd, you get your hair done. Uncle Odd is the video portion of FakoTube. He's got to look good. Get your hair cut. Get your face done. Whatever you need to look good.
I'm not gonna go get a wax though. I'm just saying. All right, I'm out. See you.
All right, there he goes. There's Uncle Odd.
There's Uncle Odd.
He's the video face of FakoTube. I have a face for radio, so I'm gonna stay. I'm going to stay hidden because there's no point looking at me. Uncle Odd is the man.
We got to get you on Anna Breeze one day.
Well,
but maybe,
Anna Breeze isn't
maybe,
even doing
maybe
it
just
anymore.
Your voice with a...
She hasn't put any new videos up, so I don't know what she's doing.
No. Hold on. Let's go to fakotube.com. Let's have a look at the latest one.
She hasn't put up any new people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What do we got here? Event 201 is... Am I a fake actually?
You gotta scroll down to the latest one.
Is that Anna Breeze? The key to unlocking the hoax. the big virus hoax. What do we got next? Hand sanitizers. Okay, April 29, 2020. My main view of this event is the global creation of the global health security industry. The industry will be at the basis of all the next generation. While this PSYOP, well, there you go. Did you write that? PSYOP is,
I think so.
A PSYOP is a word that I always associate with you, Ab. Yeah, because,
know.
You know, 9/11 is the biggest PSYOP of our time, which happened during the week. It's the 90th anniversary. PSYOP, yeah, is your word. I've always, has been customized for each country of the world. Its main target is the USA. So I think they're trying to, do you reckon they're trying with this COVID-19, they're trying to, sort of implode the US? US of A? Yeah. What do you reckon?
Completely restructure it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get rid of states. Have you looked at a map of America 2050?
Okay. What do you think it's going to look like?
You can look at it yourself. America 2050.
Well, look. Everybody wants out of California. Everyone wants out of there.
America 2050.
And they're all looking to go down to Texas.
Will be made up of super cities and mega regions. There'll be there could be up to 10 mega regions. The one on the west coast
mega
is called
region.
Cascadia.
What's a mega region? I mean,
I live in the mega region of called the Great Lakes. So there will be no more U.S. Canada border. There will be no more U.S. Mexico border. You will not be able to travel freely.
Oh, hold on.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
My idea is there will be super cities. The super cities will have super mayors. The mayors will have powers of a prime minister where they can do whatever they want within their city. Outside the city, they will be part of a mega region. The mega region chairman will have the same powers. I don't think they'll cross over. So anything outside the city is in the mega region. So for instance, I think there'll be probably 10 super cities in North America, Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, Chicago, New York, Atlanta, Dallas, Fort Worth. I'm not too great with all my cities in America. Los Angeles. There'll be the Bay Area, San Francisco, and those are the biggies that I can think of right off the top of my head.
Sure.
Everything else will be a mega region. There will be a southeast mega region, a northeast mega region. California will be its own mega region. And that will be, there'll be no borders. All the trade will go more north, south, than east, west. And that's why those mega regions cross right over the border. I haven't seen Australia 2050 yet. Why don't you punch it up and see if you can find it?
The pity for me is that Chris Kendall and David Crowe never got to see this nonsense that's going on. You know, they're the ones Chris Kendall.
Australia 2050. Let me look this up.
Yeah, they never got to see this. And maybe I'll be gone by the time that these mega regions come in. It's just unbelievable this transfer stage, which is unbelievable. How many people are going along with this nonsense?
Everyone.
It's unbelievable.
Everyone is.
I know. It's awful. I mean, you and your parents, you know, it was awful. And that they believe this rubbish, this nonsense. But all we can do is try and resist. And it's been a great show tonight, Uncle Odd and Rick and last Saturday when I was there, even Dave J, if Dave J wants to disagree with me and Rick, I mean, and says that we're lying about the police cracking that guy's head.
You reckon this has been a great show, Diorolo? Man, the standards are...
G'day, Jay. There'll be something. G'day, mate. Goodness gracious.
This is the first show since the 19th anniversary of the 9/11 event. I really thought there'd be a crowd here tonight. I'm a little bit disappointed, to tell you the truth.
Mm.
Okay, I'm looking up Australia 2050. There is a map of Australia 2050, but I can't quite figure out the divisions. But anyway.
I'm just gonna go and get another drink. JLB, don't go anywhere.
Yeah, you don't need one.
He's a nice enough dude, that guy, but he really does need to at least spend a couple of hours coming back, you know what I mean?
When you're a drunk, you're a drunk. You can't do anything about it. It's a disease of the mind, not of the physical. And really hard to stop, really hard to break. I'm so glad I never acquired the taste for beer. I never liked the taste of it. And I never accepted the social requirement to consume alcohol. That I've always been a contrarian. So if everyone is going one way, I always went the other way. Because I never thought it would be safe to follow a crowd, especially if they're going over a cliff like they're doing now. So it served me well. And I feel bad for Rolo, but he's a true fakeologist, I would say.
But you know, like, the show would just be a lot more listenable, I think, if everyone was not drunk, at least for the first hour or two. And then if you get carried away, that's cool.
We weren't drunk for the first hour or two.
But when you start off drunk, it's just difficult to reel it in, you know?
And then you hit the pop. Listen.
I popped that for you, JLB.
Oh, that's very nice of you to do that. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome, my friend. I'll call you Eric. Can I call you Eric Blair, or shall I call you George Orwell?
Rolo, did you get the Australian phone number?
Go again? 1-300-564-652.
No, my Australia phone number, you dimwit.
Well, you fucking say it then, cunt.
/contact.
There we go.
You mean the one that Marcus Allen was criticizing you for? You two were just so cynical. You're like two peas in a pod. And here you are trying to do something cool with your phone numbers. And then Marcus Allen starts telling you
John LeBron, John LeBron. You're not old enough to be a cynic yet.
I reckon Marcus is, though, and I reckon Ab the fakeologist is, and Ab's trying to do some stuff, and then Marcus is just like, oh, no, it's a waste, blah, blah, blah. Marcus, mate.
Well, I have
if you to, can do it better, come
John,
and show
I gotta,
something,
I gotta prove him wrong.
Yeah, that's true. You do.
I gotta prove him wrong. If he's right, then I'll admit he's right. That doesn't stop me from trying. I'm gonna try. Now, the phone calls often disrupt the shows anyway, but people don't listen live as much. That is also true. But, John, what do you think of my rebranding of what we're going through, the Great Corona Reset, the Great Coronavirus Folks Reset?
I like it. Just before
you go, JLB, I'm not allowed to say the see you next Tuesday word anymore at the top of my voice. So keep going, JLB.
See you next Tuesday.
See, yeah, cunt. I'm not allowed to say the word anymore.
Well, don't say it.
Apparently, apparently my wife is offending my wife. So, anyway, keep going, Charlie.
I wasn't even talking.
No, no.
He was trying.
I was apparently yelling.
You're talking about the great coronavirus hoax reset. What's going on. It's worldwide. This has nothing to do with the virus. It's all about creating the goals of the technocracy. The main thing they need an absolute digital ID for you to be in their new society. So whether it be going to the grocery store, posting on the internet, they want to know absolutely who you are and not be confused with anybody else. That way they can track the hell out of you, your medical history, your vaccination history. That's what I think the test is all about.
I
think we can all be identified absolutely by a digital analysis of ourselves. I don't know
Are you going to take the vaccine?
No.
What about you, JLB? JLB, are you going to take the vaccine?
Is the vaccine even going to come? Or is it just part of the narrative? I don't know.
I think something will come eventually. No, I agree that right now it's just being used as a carrot. But for sure, I'm not going to take it. And I'm not taking any more needles.
You won't? Take any more needles?
Nope.
You took one for a tetanus or something. Was it a tetanus?
I know.
Yeah.
But I know when I was a junkie, I
took some heroin. But that was my choice to take it. I don't want mandated needles in my arm. Absolutely not.
Yeah, if they start mandating heroin, then you know they've really lost the plot. So, Ab, tell us, man, when you took this tetanus shot, was this when you were on the way to vote at the local elections? Was it a different day, a different event?
I will vote for Trump anyway. And so I know what you're getting at. You're trying to be funny. But, no, I will vote for Trump, even though voting doesn't matter, it's still... It's historical with me.
Hey, how about that, if you looked up on the day of 9/11, like yesterday, if you looked up the total number of coronavirus deaths, according to the official figures, it was 911.
I know. Did you get that from the IPS or what I put up? I got it from IPS.
I checked your blog, and then it had the link to IPS.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I've got to make a video about that. So that's exactly what I did.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was a good idea. Yeah, we got to promote each other. I commented about that earlier on this broadcast, hours ago, where if you don't think the numbers are completely simulated, then you believe everything, then. All the numbers, right down to the location of your city, wherever you are completely simulated. They're not rooted in any kind of reality. Now, I think the death numbers have to track actual deaths to some degree. And I'm just talking about the actual deaths of regular people that die every day. Now, most people don't know those numbers anywhere where they live. I have no idea, for instance, how many people die a day in Toronto, in Canada, Ontario. I have no idea what those numbers are. I just don't have a feel for that because they've never talked about those numbers ever in the history of the world. I also don't know how many people are born in Toronto, in Ontario, in Canada on a daily basis. I don't know those numbers. But if I did, and I had them memorized, and they broadcast the corona deaths alongside the deaths that I already knew from years gone by, then I would probably be saying, well, I don't see any numbers increasing, so are we trying to say that all the heart attacks, cancers, accidents, suicides are all adding up to the Corona numbers of 2020? And then, of course, you would be saying that's not possible. But they don't do that.
Yeah, it's all simulated, that's for sure. See, that 9/11K deaths on 9/11, that was that's just too good. Too good.
Well, it's more proof, John, that no one's paying attention. Because many people would find that odd, but only us, tiny group, we pay attention to the numbers, and by us acknowledging it, it gives them confirmation that only a tiny few people could care less, let alone see the numbers. It's almost like they're waving at the five people that actually post about it.
Yeah, with not many of us. I haven't been following Tim Osman lately, to tell you the truth, just because it's difficult. If he just had some website where he just posted his audios and you just download them easily, I would probably listen to most, if not all, of his stuff. But I just get tired of having to try and track his stuff down, do you know what I mean? I don't know why he can't just centralize it.
Absolutely, absolutely, John, I agree. Now, he does have a SoundCloud feed, and I have those files come into my podcatcher, Podcast Addict, the best podcast player for Android. And he's pretty good, not perfect, about putting his audios there. Ever since YouTube stopped sending me emails about new videos on channels, I find it harder to keep track of what I've listened to and not listened to on YouTube. That was definitely a deliberate... You know, I don't think it costs YouTube anything to send emails out. So the idea they stopped doing that made it a little more difficult for me to put a check mark beside who I've listened to and who I've not listened to. For instance, you obviously upload a lot, and I wouldn't listen to your stuff immediately, but I'd leave it in my email box, and it would be there maybe for weeks, and then maybe eventually, if I didn't already listen to it, I could go back to it, and the email is a great way for me to keep track of everything I have to listen to.
Oh, Ab. Email, you're so old. Email. Everyone's on Twitter these days, and Twitch.
No, they're not on Twitter. They're not on either of those things. They're on Instagram.
Instagram? I don't even know what Instagram is.
Snapchat.
I have no idea. Snapchat? I don't know. No idea. I know what fakeatube.com, fakeologist.com, JLV, johnlebon.com.
FakeOtube sent email.
Announcementsoldtoday.com. Is that one? I don't think it is. I think it's has
no,
a fake.
No, he registered his, I think he registered his domain.
Did he?
Dante told him to register his domain, which is too long, by the way.
I've just been given 20 minutes, and then I have to be quiet. So you guys keep talking.
Have you noticed, Ab, that on YouTube now, a lot of channels have a join now thing on YouTube? So it's kind of like YouTube is moving into the Patreon market?
Yes, I've seen that.
I honestly didn't realize this until recently. And then this channel that I follow, that I've been following for years, like a guy who, you probably actually heard him, pardon me, you probably heard him on one of my calls years ago. He's got like a small channel, and he used to talk about the hoaxes these days, not so much. But anyway, I watched a video of his today. This is a guy who gets like 50 or 100 views. He has a little join now thing. And I'm like, what the hell is that? So I click this thing, and now he's got this thing where you can join for $5 a month or whatever. I'm like, yeah, fair enough, but when did that become a thing? I honestly didn't know. So I Googled membership join now. Apparently this became a thing like 2 years ago. I'm like, what? This is literally, I do not remember hearing about this before.
It wasn't available to everybody, though. I don't think I could add a join now, but their terms and conditions, their TOS are so in-depth, you probably have to give your right nut before you can put a join now button on your site. So I don't think you can just do it without going through a million hoops.
Well, that's what I read. What I read was basically you had to have 100,000 subscribers. And the guy who I'm talking...
Oh, okay.
I probably don't really follow anyone with that number of subscribers, to tell the truth. Like, everyone I follow is low numbers. So this guy only has a couple of thousand subs. So clearly they've made it available to... I mean, maybe I could do it if I wanted to.
Yeah. Like, well, go for it, man.
Well, I don't think I can, though. My channel is registered in Malaysia. That's why I can't do Super Chats. Because if you got a Malaysian phone number registered, they won't let you do Super Chats. But in theory, if I was to go back to Australia, I could just get a new channel, slowly but surely migrate everyone to the new channel and do that. But, so Patreon came along a few years, maybe 5-6 years ago, and sort of popularized the idea of, oh, you're a YouTuber, start your own... It's kind of like Patreon is starting your own membership website, but they do the hard work for you kind of thing. So they popularize it, and now YouTube are like, you know what, we'll just cut out the middleman of Patreon, we'll do it as well. And I think they're taking like 30%, which is crazy. But a lot of people don't want to go and run their own site, so they'll happily do that, yeah?
Listen, if it's convenient,
I've been on YouTube since 2007. Lord Roller.
Your story now.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I love chatting with you guys over the years, but if I can help out any way with the, I'll give another $300 for the Bake YouTube. But no worries at all. But John LeBlanc, if I can help you out in any way, or say you just want another...
Join his site.
No, that's okay.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Tom Dapper on psychologist.com.
G'day, Tom. That's a big shout-out to Tom Dapper. Yeah, that actually pretty
Lawrence
funny
Pittsburgh.
During the week. Tom Dalper and Dave J had a little bit of back and forth. But there, yeah.
Rolo, are you going to become a super agent at John the Bond site?
The super agency isn't open, so unfortunately that's not possible. But listen, no, I don't... There's no need for Rolo to join my site. There's no need for that. I appreciate the nice sentiment.
If you need some money just to get back to Australia, John...
No, I really appreciate that, Roller. Thank you. No, I'm fine. If I need to get back to Australia, I've got enough money sitting there to do that, so that's okay.
Just
I don't think you want to go back to Australia.
Send me a private message. You don't want to come
back? John, your family is back in Australia. What are they... How are they reacting to all this? Can they do...
Well, you know,
I've
been
impressed.
My mother... Like, my family are all complete normies, but, like, my mother has been skeptical of this from, I think, pretty much the moment I started locking people down. She's been skeptical of it. I don't know how skeptical she is of the virus in general, but just this idea of, you know, we have to lock people down and blah, blah, blah. I've been very impressed. She seems to have... And I don't lead the conversation. I don't try and convince her of anything. But just the things that she said, she doesn't seem to believe that any of this is necessary. So for me, that's nice. And then I've got a couple of brothers. Look, dude, my brothers, man, they're just happy-go-lucky people. I don't really think they think about any of this very much. So do they believe there's a virus? I don't know. Next time I speak to them, I might ask them, like, do you actually believe there is a virus? I would guess that they do, but I don't think they care. Like, they're just happy to...
What about your father?
I haven't really spoken to him about this very much, but the last time we did chat, I got the impression he does believe... that it's a real thing and that, like, the lockdowns are necessary. That was the impression I got. Didn't go into too much detail, but I get the impression he believes it's all real. Yeah.
Hey, John, do you know that I went to Sydney and with Rick dressed as the Joker and they started, you know, doing a sort of, hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You know, and, you know, when I was not doing anything wrong. I had a whole bunch of face makeup on. You remember Joker, the movie Joker, October 4th, 2019? You know, when I was in where we should have met up, right?
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. And the police, they were out of control.
Show up.
They were out of control.
last Saturday.
Yeah.
In Sydney, yeah. They were Asian provocateurs, all of them. Even the old ones. I just couldn't believe it. Anyway, I don't know what it's like over there, but it was just fucked up in Sydney. It was fucked up. And this, down in Melbourne, where Frank is, ounce of salt a day, apparently they've got goddamn curfews. Unbelievable.
Frank's in Geelong.
In Geelong, yeah. Yeah, but I think the curfew's only in Melbourne CBD, right? Is that right?
I don't know. I haven't been there.
Yeah, well...
John, do your parents listen to your audios?
I don't think so. Do your parents listen to yours?
Would you... No. Actually, I just found out that my dad was blocked from my site. He couldn't even go to it.
Do you know how many people I've been blocked from? I tell you who I've been blocked from. I've been blocked from the Australian Coronavirus Hotline, 1-800-028-0820. And how did they block you? I reckon the next site I'm going to be blocked from is going to be 000. 000. I reckon they're going to block me from that. I've been blocked from Lifeline. It's crazy. They don't want to talk to me anymore. Bloody funny though.
You got still John Loss.
Nah, John Loss. Yeah. I've been blocked from all the major radio stations. Yeah. But that's part of the course. Part of the course, you know. They don't want to talk to me because, you know why? Because I'm going to ask awkward questions. They don't want to hear it. You know, the arbitrary nature of how you, why is McDonald's allowed to stay open and your mum and pop, cafe has to be shut. It's disgusting. It's disgraceful what's going on here, the arbitrary nature. And the bloody Anastasia Palaszczuk.
It's not arbitrary. You just listened to Patrick Wood. Did you not listen to him?
Yeah, good point. Well, good point. Well made.
So how it's engineered.
Mm-hmm.
There's a plan, man. You want to look at the plan? You can go look it up.
I think it was 2010, it was
World Economic Forum.org. That's the, talking about the Rockefeller 2010. That's ancient history. Right. Look at what the plan is. You want to see the plan? Go look at the plan. The spinning wheel.
I'm seeing the plan is, I'm seeing it play out in front of me, you know? It's just,
it's a shame what's happening. It's bad. There's lots of bad things. But like, are you still enjoying life? Like, you're still able to see the good side of things?
No, I want to kill myself right now.
Okay.
Right now. I'm going to try to do it right now.
Bro, stop. I'm going
to... Right now.
Don't make me cancel another audio. Stop talking like that.
Nah, I shouldn't.
I think you better go to bed now.
All right, then. See you guys.
Cheers, right.
Goodbye.
Cheers.
Take care.
Bye.
Yeah, John, it's, I still enjoy, life, the little things, but definitely making it, full of friction. Unnecessary friction is what I would call what's going on.
I found it interesting in your chat with Marcus, how you were like, oh, so Marcus, how have you been? And he was like, I've been really good up until today. And then I had an argument with my wife. And I was like,
yeah,
fair enough. Like, I was already listening, but okay, you've got my attention. What's the big deal? And then I think he said it was something to do with, was it to do with money? I can't remember what he said the argument was about, but.
Yeah. It's money. It's, you know, all relationships end over money. not over sex, not, I mean, sex is important, but not, it's always money. And most relationships that I've pulled, and except for mine, the woman controls the money, which is interesting. I do all my books. My wife doesn't care about money. She doesn't like money. She doesn't really have any use for money. So she doesn't even want to know what's coming in and what's going out. She's completely oblivious to all of it. But most women in most households control the money. So if the money's not coming in, or the man is not doing his fair share, that can be a big problem. And he was saying that the second stimulus check in the United States has not gone out. Now, Canada, we have a pretty good federalized system. So our money goes out within 3 days. If you apply in 3 days, you get the money, you, no questions asked, which is great, but it's also horrible at the same time because there's probably tons of abuse. I've heard there's hundreds of billions of dollars leaving our country to people that don't even live here that are getting the money through their electronic bank accounts. So Canada is just, I read today that the federal debt is $1 trillion, that's 1 plus 12 zeros, and the provincial debt, because our provinces are allowed to go into debt too, unlike the United States states, they add up to $1 trillion. So that makes $2 trillion worth of debt that's on top of every single Canadian, which is it's impossible to pay back.
All those numbers, they're like, yeah, that's all, you know, part of the fictional narrative, isn't it? Like all those numbers.
I know you say that, but there will be real consequences. Yeah, I agree, it's a shell game, but John, when they want to just take everything that should be public, they will. Because they've made legal in their world. They've made it legal. So, like I say this all the time, it will become Lake BlackRock, not Lake Ontario. BlackRock, which is, I guess, one of the big money funds for the elite, where they have their trillions, they'll buy the Great Lakes. I guarantee it. They'll own the lakes. They'll own the land. They'll own it all. It's just another shell game takeover.
You know, I didn't receive any of these stimulus checks from the Australian government. I received nothing. So, it is what it is, though, mate.
Well, how much are they giving out?
Well, what they did, it wasn't so much stimulus checks that they did. What they did was they doubled the welfare payments for unemployment. They doubled it. It used to be a pretty small amount, and then they doubled it. So now it's actually a pretty decent amount. It's enough to live, for sure. So I know a few people back home who lost their jobs, and yeah, now they're just on unemployment, but they're getting decent money, like not good money, but for doing nothing, pretty decent money. And they keep saying, we're going to stop that. We're going to cut it back again. They keep saying that, but as far as I'm aware, they haven't done that. So it's just been free, easy money for how long now? 6 months? 7 months? Just keeps going on and on, doesn't it? Mind you, I've got no issue with that. Like if they give you the money, take the money.
Right. So your government did it all through unemployment. But what if you didn't have it?
Well, not just
through
that. They also did this thing. They also did this thing. I'm not sure exactly the logistical nature or the technical nature of it, but they did this thing where they gave businesses money if they kept paying staff, like to tide them over. They called it JobKeeper. So they've got two programs: JobSpeaker, which is just unemployment, and then Job Keeper, which is like, well, you can fire them and then we can give them unemployment, or you can keep them on your books and we'll give you money. We give them money. It's the same basic thing, really. And heaps of people have gone on to that. Like, it's a real thing. It's really happening. And I never got a cent from it. But I'm not complaining, by the way. Like, I don't technically need the money. But
why did you apply?
I know people who don't need the money and they're getting it. And I'm like, man, I wish I was smart enough to rig the system that way. Oh well. Maybe next time. This will happen again, no doubt.
Can you apply from there?
Well, I think, you know, what I've been thinking about this, if I used a VPN, a proxy, Maybe I could. But would they know that I'm out of the country?
But what does that matter? What does it matter if you're out of the country? You're an Australian citizen. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's a good
There's
question.
Lots of Canadian citizens in India that are grabbing the money.
I'm not exactly sure how the Canadian system works. Okay, do you remember the GFC? Remember how back in 2010 we had that, or 2009, we had that GFC? Or, when did that start? Was it 2008, 2007, all that started? But in 2010, Australia supposedly got bad, and our government gave out two sets of stimulus payments, not checks, payments through the bank system. And to qualify, if you were on any government payment, like, student payments, you received it. And if you'd paid tax the previous year but had earned less than a certain amount, you received it. At the time, I was in South Africa. I received both because I was on a student, because I was on exchange in Africa, obviously. This was back when I was like 22, I think. So I received the one for being a student, and I received the one for having paid tax the previous year, because I had a part-time job on top of the student payments. I had two part-time jobs back then, actually. So I received like $2,000. And that was supposedly to stimulate the Australian economy. And I was in Johannesburg. There was no stimulating the Australian economy in Johannesburg. But it was free money, and I took it, 100%. So to all the people out there who were taking the government's money, I say, good on you guys. I'm not... You know those people who like don't get the free money, and they're like jealous of the ones who do? I'm not one of those people. I'm like, no, good on you. If I were you, I'd do the same thing. Take it. Take the money. It's free money. Take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so getting back to our point about Marcus Allen, he's talking about how he had this argument with his wife and whatever. And it's like, yeah, man, I can only imagine what it's like to be in a relationship where one of you knows this is a hoax and one of you believes it's real. I can't even really imagine that situation.
I think his wife is skeptical of it. I don't think she's a full-on believer. But their argument is over money, because the second stimulus check has not gone through, and he was actually banking on it. And now that it doesn't come through, things are strained. So that's what I got out of the conversation.
Yeah, well, she's a full-time worker, though, isn't she? Like, you'd think they'd be able to get by.
Yeah.
And the kids are growing up. It's not like they're little kids where you have to buy a new car, a new pram, new clothes every 6 months.
No, one of his children is still in school. Yeah, she's a school teacher.
How much do kids really cost? Like, I honestly don't know how much your kids cost to look like. I honestly have no idea. How much does it cost to keep a kid fed these days? I've got no idea.
Well, there's clothing, I don't think it's the total cost over a lifetime, which you can't really compute easily. There's education that costs money, but
did you send your two daughters to a nice private school, or did they just go to public system?
Yeah, private school. You must have the impression that I have money. I don't. No, they went to public school and they got the same lousy education everyone else does. And now they're both in university, which is just Zoom calling. They should rename it ZoomCalling.com. Completely useless. And it's very not a very immersive experience.
Wow, can you imagine being a uni student now, or a college student now, when this is all going on? Half the reason you're at university or college is to meet people, and it's like, we can't do that now.
Yes.
So what are you left with? Bullshit classes, with bullshit teachers, and bullshit...
Well,
we call them... What do we used to call them? Not the lecturer, but the people who run the tutorials. I forget what we even called them now. It's been so long since I was there, but those people... I mean, they're getting paid relatively shit money. They're marking all of these papers. They don't give a shit. I remember one time I got my mark back for a paper, and a guy like from my class who I knew, he was a cool dude. We used to play futsal together. I played on his futsal team. Nice dude. I remember reading his paper once, and I got 80 on my paper. He got like 88 or something, right? I'm like, I'm very proud of my work. If he's doing better than me, I want to read it. I read it, and it was trash. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And it took me a while to realize, They're not even reading these papers, man, because they've got so many of them to mark. They're not sitting there intently reading through each one. Just like, oh yeah, blah, 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 bang. So it's like not an entirely make-believe score.
Oh, it's totally subjective. But the teaching assistants usually do all the marking. It's all delegated down to student...
Those people. And those people are generally post-grad students or whatever. So they've got their own commitments, plus most of them are still
They might not even be post-grad. They might just be higher... They might just be higher up. They might not even be graduate students.
Yeah.
They're just 2 or 3 years ahead. So, it's all super subjective.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I found out later that what a lot of the foreign students do, because they're paying the big bucks to be there, is if they get marks they don't like, they just complain and delete the mark they want. And it's like an openly known thing among academics. See, when I was... My first few years of uni, I didn't understand all this. As I was there longer and I spoke to more people, I came to see how the system works. I'm like, oh,
it's a business, John. It's a business.
So these people are scared of giving these people fair marks, because if they do, they'll get complaints, blah, blah, blah. So they just bump up the score. So the whole thing's a scam. The whole thing, from start to finish. Isn't it?
It's a business. It's a business. They have to sell their product. They have to keep their customers happy.
Yep. It's a scam.
And that business is collapsed now, because they're not letting anyone in. I think they left some people in. I'm not sure who's in right now. I think some foreign students are in, but not all of them. So it's that business has collapsed, gone. This is part of the Great Reset, so I'm not sure what the plan is. But if they cut off foreign students in the West, I'm sure it would collapse the university system by 75%.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
You don't have free will. You have the appearance of free will.
In order to know what Klaus Schwab wants done with universities, we'll have to go to the World Economic Forum's website and read what the plan is for universities, because it's not going to exist the way it has before. You see, as much as I don't like this lie about COVID, I think there is a real need to blow up the university system and the education system. I think it's time for an overhaul. I think it's the same system from 100 years ago. And I think the health system is also in need of dire restructuring, because it was totally unsustainable. And I think, I don't know what you hear in Australia, but here in Canada, North America, we keep hearing that the baby boomers who were born after World War II are all at the point where they need health care, all of them, and there's not enough people after them in the population to support all their health care needs. And they've been saying for the last 10 or 15 years that the health care system will collapse under the weight of all these people hitting their 70s and 80s. So that's now, and now we've seen them basically shut down the healthcare system in the name of COVID. So I don't know if it's really happening. I hope it's not. But Vernon Coleman says that all the old people that need critical treatment, cancer treatment, heart surgeries, for at least a few months this year, I don't know if it's still happening, they weren't being treated. So they're just left to survive on their own. Or
yeah,
die.
I haven't seen any of that Vernon Coleman. I know you post a lot of his stuff. I haven't watched any of it, so I don't really know if it's any good stuff. Have you tried to interview him? Have you tried to reach out to him and say, hey man, come on my show?
No, not yet. I'm not sure. Anyone that has a voice as strong as his, that has their own YouTube channel, they don't really need to be interviewed, because he's giving his opinions every single day. We already know what he thinks. I'm fine with, I don't really need to talk to him because, like I said, he's talking for himself. He doesn't need anyone to interview. He pretty much answers every question I want to know in his own videos. And he's a very well-spoken person, so. I know he's on some British show. I think it's a regular radio show, which I can't get or I'm not even looking for, but I think he called it the Richie Allen show. But he claims that there are a lot of old people just dying because, think about it, if the hospitals are closed, it's hard to get in. It's hard to get a doctor's appointment. And for all those that are trying, there's probably 10 that don't try at all because they just hear in the media that the hospitals are closed, it's hard to get an appointment, so they don't bother. So if they have a chest pain, they don't do anything, and if it's a critical chest pain, they just die. That, I believe, is happening. And that's part of maintaining the health system from going out of control.
Do hospitals actually help people? Like, I'm not trying to contradict you, but, like, do hospitals in regular times actually help or save anybody? Like, if someone has chest pains, are they more likely to be alive if they go to a hospital than if they just stay? Are they?
Yes. I know two guys my age. I just talked to one yesterday. I asked him, how's your stents doing? So without the stents in his coronary arteries, he'd be dead.
How do you know that, though?
Because if your coronary arteries are collapsed or clogged, your heart will die. And it will stop beating, and you will die.
Yeah, but how do you know if these people have the stents? How do we know that if they didn't have the stents, that their arteries would have collapsed? Is this what I'm trying to say here?
No. Because I'm pretty sure a stent is a real thing. I'm pretty sure there's a stent in there. I don't think
I believe the stents are in there, but what I'm talking about is, so like, in science, what's meant to happen is you can have two groups. The control group where you do nothing, and then the group that you're performing your experiments on, right? So,
well,
of like, here's 1,000 people who are going to give the stents, and 1,000 people who we're not, and then we're going to see which group lives longer. Like, I don't believe that science actually exists for any of this.
Well, I don't think it's legal by the Geneva Convention to do experimentation on human beings. I think we've settled that. So maybe they've done it with rabbits or any other animal that has heart problems. But no, I'm pretty sure they're not going to take the risk, say, okay, you need a stent, but we're not giving you one. So we'll just see what happens. No.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, you couldn't pass ethics committees to do this kind of experimentation. But my point is just that I'm not sure there is any science supporting that this does help people overall. Now, people who've had it
done,
I
think it does.
They will think,
the
stent saved my life, right? Because that's the story they've believed in, emotionally invested in it. But for all they know, they would have lived anyway.
Well, they might have.
Hey, guys, just before I go.
You already left.
One thing. Vaccine.
You can't come back.
They're rushing the new vaccine through. I mean, I could give two shits about stents. Vaccines that they're trying to rush through now for these COVID-19 nonsense.
You would? You care about a stent if you had a heart problem?
Fuck that shit. Bing's here too, by the way. I'll see you guys later, alright? Next Saturday, alright? Bye.
Take care. Be well. Stop drinking. That ain't gonna happen. Hey, Bing, you can unmute if you want. John LeBon is gone for a minute. We're gonna call S. R.
roller going? Is everybody gone? Well, how about this 9/11 anniversary, guys? What a reunion, hey? What a 9/11 reunion. Here at fakeologist.com.
Yeah, we're back, Jono.
Were you expecting more people tonight, man? I probably foolishly, in hindsight, got my hopes up. Could there be some people here? There isn't.
It's all right, Jono. We're here.
Yeah, you're deep. I mean, like, it's 9/11, yeah, man. It's like it's the anniversary of the big event. The big event, the big hoax.
But Jono, it's going into the history books. I think even when I started, it was in the history books. Marcus and Chris, they had already solved this whole thing in 2008. Did you know that?
I'm not so sure about that. They might have worked out that nobody died, nobody got hurt, but I think it's about as far as they've gotten. You know what I'm trying to say? There's a whole esoteric aspect to this. I don't think either of them have any clue whatsoever.
Yeah, but I think they satisfied themselves that they knew enough about what happened back then. They pretty much figured out it was a magic trick and a movie.
Yeah, but for what purpose, though? Like, so if they're going to make this made-for-TV movie, why did they do it? Like, what's the point of it?
Well, they got this thing called Homeland Security. That's a pretty big
thing. You don't think they could have done that anyway? You don't think they could have just...
No, not really. I think you always need a reason to steal the money. So, yeah, I think they needed a reason to set up in the Middle East. Would they have done it anyway? Maybe, but they always use events, which is what they did. They used an event to get in there. The Great Reset needs an event. It's called COVID. You there?
Yeah, man. I'm listening.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
Yeah, I think they always need an event. All right. What do you think of the technocracy guy?
Which one's that?
Patrick Wood. He's been harping about technocracy for a long time, and now pretty much everything he says is coming true. It's a close swap.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with him.
Oh, yeah.
Can't come in.
Okay, well, I put it on Fakeologist and FakoTube.
Honestly, man, with all the stuff that you post, I think it's fantastic, but the only stuff that I really pay attention to is the audios, because I like to download and listen to them doing something else.
Yeah.
So that's why I listened to your chat with Marcus, which, like I said, I thought was terrific.
Thank you.
And I haven't listened to the most recent one with the new person, whose name escapes me, so I can't comment on that.
Kevin and Annette?
Can't remember. And then, are you guys, did I hear right from Todd before that you and Todd are talking to Tom Barnett tomorrow?
Yes.
Well, that'll be interesting. What are you planning to ask him? What kind of questions have you got lined up?
I don't have anything lined up. I'd never line anything up. But if I was going to ask him something, I would just, my brother, who doesn't like anything I have to say, I sent him the Tom Barnett video, and he sent me the Australian fact-checking website counter points to Tom Arnett. So I'm going to read that to him and ask him to counter the counter points. As a matter of fact, you just reminded me, I got to find that email and send it. There's a Fact Check Australia website. You coming through still?
Yeah, man. I'm listening.
I know. I got to look that up now. But
he's a very interesting dude, that Tom Barnett. He's run for political office before for a minor party, so he never really had much chance of getting in, but still good on him for trying to run. And
it's good exposure.
Yeah, it's exposure, and then obviously he had that video that went viral back at the start of the saying that you can't catch a virus. That went viral before it got, you know, deleted by YouTube or whatever, and he seems to have built up a little bit of a following for himself. So, very interesting character. You know, he comes from a part of Australia that's renowned for having, you know, what you might call hippies. They're not really hippies, but, you know, people who are very much into, you know, the environment and nature and, you know, holistic foods and drinks and all this kind of thing. Like, that's a part of Australia that he's from. That's sort of northern New South Wales, east coast. So like sort of north of Sydney, but south of Brisbane, that whole area is renowned for that kind of thing. Like the weed, like the marijuana capital of Australia is in that same area that he's from, for instance.
Yeah, well, people all have to come from somewhere. They're not just hatched in a lab like Barack Obama was.
Oh, yeah, I don't mean this is a criticism of Tom Barnett or of those people for that matter. I just mean it's probably not a coincidence that he is from that part of the world that he has these skeptical views on vaccines and this kind of thing.
Yeah, that'd be a good question. What is your motivation? You know, someone that was, for instance, vaccine damaged. That would be a good
question. If I was on the call with you and Todd tomorrow and Tom Barnett, I'd ask him, what do you think about birth trauma in general? What do you think about cesarean section birth? What do you think about epidurals? What do you think about induced births, induced labor? What do you think about ultrasound?
All those things happen to my wife, everything you just said. You think that's why my daughter argues with me all the time?
We spoke about all of that when I was in Phuket. So this would have been probably April last year. We spoke about all of that.
I told my daughter we could have pulled her out with forceps, but that would have possibly damaged her head and her neck. Because at the time when I was offered the choice, I had heard stories about infants that had to go for physiotherapy because they had neck injuries and head injuries from using tongs to pull somebody out. All nasty things.
Oh, yeah. Bad stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot to. I don't know if I'm going to ask him those questions because his specialty appears to be viruses. And I really like him and Amanda Ballmer's whole take on just these polymorphic structures that make up our biology, that repair our system. I like all that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about any of that. It's all foreign to me. I don't know anything about any of those things.
I don't really know much about it either.
But I think we should know about it, don't you? It kind of is, it's become center stage in our lives.
Well, like if someone said to me that they're an expert on viruses, I'm like, that's like saying you're an expert on ghosts. Like, okay, I'm sure you have lots of knowledge, but it's about something that doesn't exist. So, not really. How far can this conversation go, I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I agree. Not an easy topic to get involved with because, of course, there's no one being trained to look at medicine in this way whatsoever.
Well, that's why when I said to you before, like, do you think that these hospitals can actually help people? And you were absolutely certain they can, and maybe they can, but for me, if a so-called expert says to me, oh, we've got to insert something into your heart or you're going to die, I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. Goodbye. That's the end of the conversation.
Well, I would probably go with a lot of anecdotal evidence. For instance, friends, family that have these procedures and get their first-hand opinion, make a judgment. And if the people that have these issues are still walking around, then maybe what happened was for the best. Maybe it was a good thing that they had done.
But you don't get to talk to the people who were killed by it. You don't get to talk to people who are actually healthy walk into a hospital and they're dead. You don't get to hear from them.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout-out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, you can't talk to them. Dead men don't talk. Dead men tell no lies.
That's exactly it, man. Dead men tell no tales. So if a man has chest pains that actually for some simple reason not enough salt in his body or too much alcohol over the past week or some other temporary issue, he walks into a hospital and they say, oh no, you've got a big problem that we've got to operate on. They operate and he dies, but he would have actually lived if he had just stayed at home and fixed up a few small problems. That guy can't come to you and say, hey Ab, guess what man, these people are murderers, they killed me. You won't get his opinion. But you will get the opinion of the guy who walks in there, is convinced that he needs their help, they help him in inverted commas, and now he's alive. Oh, thank God I went in there, mate. I was going to die. My bloody arteries were going to collapse. So they inserted this piece of metal into my body, or this stent into my body, and then I lived, so I really owe the doctor my life. And he actually believes it. He's not lying. He believes it. He believes everything. He just doesn't know what would have happened otherwise, you see.
Yeah, but they create...
I don't trust the medical industry at all, dude. Not one bit. Not one bit.
Okay.
Except for one thing. Massive blood loss. I don't know how to stop massive blood loss. I think something like a direct, massive physical trauma like that leads to massive blood loss, I would trust them over me to stop the blood loss.
Yeah.
But other than that, and maybe, what else? Severe dehydration, they can give you a drip. Something like that, maybe. I would trust them over me. But anything where it comes to, oh no, there's something inside your body that you can't see that we can fix, any of that, I'm like, nah. Thanks for the offer there, Buster. How much were you going to make, by the way, if you inserted that stent into me? How much would you be making? Oh, really? Oh, I see. Well, no deal. Yeah? Good luck with the next sucker, buddy. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Well,
yeah?
Wait till you get in the situation before you be absolute about that. If they showed you some pretty pictures of your blocked up arteries in your heart and said, well, it's up to you. What do you want to do, John? Should we just leave them blocked and see what happens, or you want us to open them up? I think you'd probably go with door number one.
Well, I don't blame you for thinking that, but I know better, and I don't trust this. Dude, it's like once you see the man behind the curtain, it doesn't matter what pictures this guy gives you. It doesn't matter what flames and angry man with a big head on the screen. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. It doesn't matter what they say. It's like, yeah, but I know this is all fake. I know you guys are just magicians, yeah? I know that.
Well, maybe you take the Amanda Vollmer holistic approach, naturopath approach. If there was something
maybe.
That was bothering you that you couldn't figure out, I'm pretty sure
maybe.
You'll take advice from somebody.
If I was really worried about my health, you know what I'd do first? I would just fix up my lifestyle. More exercise,
yeah.
More sunlight, more good food,
yeah.
Less bad food, less alcohol.
Sure.
More sleep, less late nights, like all the simple
yeah.
shit, yeah? That's
yeah.
what I'd do first.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I'd do it too.
Now, I'll give you the hot tip, I don't do that. I've been leading a very reckless lifestyle for the past period of time, and
I know,
fine,
you,
so.
You tell us. Well, you're young though, John, your body's resilient. When things start to break down, you can't argue with time. Everything wears out over time. Everything. That's the one thing you can't beat. So all the things you do to abuse your body are magnified over time.
I agree.
That's why.
I completely agree with you.
They're trying
to. I can't believe Rollo's still alive, can you?
No.
5 years ago, I really thought this guy has 2 or 3 years left. But he's still here. He's still standing. So.
Well, it just.
You've got to give him credit,
resilient.
Mate.
No, the body is very resilient, obviously. It takes a lot to knock some people right down. So, not everyone has that resilience, though. Not everyone can resist. Their bodies can't process. But it doesn't work for everyone. He's lucky. He's doing something right. Maybe it's because he doesn't eat meat. Maybe meat and alcohol are... super dangerous together. Who knows? You know, that's the problem. Everyone's chemical set that is their meat sack is different. That's why what works for one person doesn't work for another. That's what makes medicine so challenging, because there's just not one size fits all.
Yeah, I agree with you. Listen, I need to get going in a moment. Before I do, though, I want to run some ideas past you, alright? And this is like a Fakeologist exclusive, because I haven't spoken about it publicly, only on johnlebon.com. So for the 7 or 8 people around the world who are still going to listen to this part of the call, you get to hear this probably for the first time. Are you ready?
There's probably less than that. Most people listen later.
No, I don't mean listening live. I mean, like, literally people who download this and then make it to the end of the podcast, or to this part of the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting. Do a giveaway or something for people that...
Well, with YouTube, you can use analytics. Like, the YouTube studio for free lets you see, for every single video, your retention rate. So for every second of every video, you can see how many people are still here.
Some
videos, you lose, like, 80% in the first 30 seconds. Some videos... you can still have 50% by the end. So what's the magic that keeps them hooked? I've learned a few tricks, actually. So some of what I do now, I do because I know this keeps people engaged. Yeah? You understand? And you know what people love? People love puzzles. If you open up the video by saying, basically, can you solve? I'm about to give you some clues. Can you solve it? Dude, the analytics don't lie. People love that shit. And they're like, yeah, I'm smarter than everybody. Give me the clues and I'll work it out. Bang, you've got them. You see? So what you're going to notice is that more and more of my videos will be like, I'm going to give you some clues. Can you work this out? I'll give them one clue, maybe two. Then I'll promote my website.
That's a great idea.
Then I'll give them the third clue. So to get the third clue, they've got to watch me pitch in the website, you see? Huh?
No, that
is
was
that
really
clever
well
or
done.
What?
No, that was good. I saw that. And I'm so bad at clues, I almost never solve them. But yeah, that's good. I know people.
Well, you're a smart dude, so if you're not, so, I'll give you the hot tip, dude. The most recent video I did, I was a bit disappointed by the comments because I think almost nobody solved it. So, it is what it is. But get this.
No,
The biggest city for coronavirus right now, the biggest nonsense is Melbourne, Melbourne, Australia. That's where they've got APN confused, businesses will shut down, the whole thing's a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why Melbourne? Why Melbourne? Right? Why Melbourne of all places in the world? Yeah.
Okay.
Did you know that Melbourne's biggest, well, Melbourne's only major casino is Crown Casino?
Yeah, I heard you say that.
So it's called Crown Casino, and get this, its current location is on one side of the river, but while they were building that, like the official location, they had a temporary location, and it was at Melbourne's version of an iconic landmark that you have heard about and spoke about many times. So there's an iconic landmark in New York, but there's similar versions in other cities. Can you guess what the iconic landmark was where Crown Casino was located before its current address?
No.
I'll give you a hint. It begins with, there's a three-word name. It begins with World.
World Trade Center?
There's a World Trade Center in Melbourne. And that's where Crown Casino was located before it moved to its current address.
Okay, wow.
There's more to it than that, though. They currently have this massive, not just the casino, but also the hotels, the entertainment venue, whatever, which everybody in Melbourne knows. Pretty much everyone's been there for one reason or another. I've been there a few times to gamble. I've also been there for just using their free car parking, and I've been there for heaps of stuff. But most people have been there for one reason or another. So... like they've got nightclubs there as well, which I went to a couple of times. They've got cinemas. It's just a massive venue. What they don't have is the tallest building in Melbourne. But they applied for and got permission for building not just the biggest building in Melbourne, but the biggest building in Australia, the tallest skyscraper in Australia, which they were meant to begin constructing. They haven't begun constructing it yet, but they've got the permission. So Melbourne, Australia was going to be crowned... by Crown. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? The tallest building in Melbourne was going to be a Crown Casino building. So the Crown was going to crown Melbourne.
I got
And this is an organization who started off at the World Trade Center. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Those are all very esoteric reasons, but are there any practical reasons? For instance, are all the politicians of Victoria paid off by the Chinese, so they are going to be the model state for the Chinese model to be applied to the U.S.? Hello.
I'm glad you asked. So here's the next part to this. When Crown Casino won, because they had to bid to build the casino, when Victoria said, we're going to have a casino, they said, right, we're going to have a tender process. You have to bid to get the casino license. The major firm who Crown Casino beat... was a firm, a dual bid between Jupiter's Casino from the Gold Coast, Jupiter,
there we go,
and Conrad Hotels, which is basically the Hilton Hotels, yeah? Now, what was across from the World Trade Center on the day of 9/11? A building called the Millennium Hilton, shaped like a black right. monolith.
That's one of Napoleon Wilson's favorite topics.
God love Napoleon Wilson, what a great guy. It's a shame that he hasn't come back to the website.
Yeah, he anyway. Come back. Well, he's at the
he
website,
should come back.
It's not on the audio.
That's true. He should come back to the audio. So, that black monolith across from the World Trade Center has a phone number, if you look it up, 201-693-2001. Yeah? So
yeah.
The final four digits of the Millennium Hilton is 2001. And the Hiltons were trying to build the Crown Casino, but they lost. They wouldn't have called it Crown, they would call it something else. But they lost, they didn't win the bid. It went to Crown. The Crown phone number, if you look it up, is 9292-8888. Now, what culture considers 8 to be lucky?
China. 8, they're number one.
Indeed. And then Crown Casino's official address is number something, Whiteman Street. Would you like to guess the number?
Number 8 or 88.
Number 8, yeah. So their phone number is 9292-8888. Their address is 8 Whiteman Street. So when people talk about, oh, is this to do with the Chinese? I'm thinking, well, maybe to an extent it is. But maybe not. It's like when the left hand's moving, watch what the right hand's doing. You know what I'm trying to say? Maybe there's something else is going on here.
Well, listen, if the Chinese want to put their authoritarian dictatorship, capitalist dictatorship, they need a beachhead in Australia. It may as well be the state that they're most interested in. And I guess Melbourne has a port that's going to be privatized or is privatized, Chinese, that kind of thing. So that's going to be the major place where they suck Australia of its resources and send them to the Chinese manufacturing plant. So maybe the esoterics are just clues for the actual practicality of the fact that Daniel Andrews is probably fully paid and massaged over by the Chinese and their money.
Well, that's possible. I think he's just a puppet. So I just want to correct myself. I said the Millennium Hilton's last four digits are 2001. That's true. And the 693, that was correct. The full phone number is 212-693-2001. And that black monolith was across from the World Trade Center on the day of 9/11. The black monolith, same as the 2001 Space Odyssey, yeah? Now, are you ready for some really esoteric, crazy shit?
Right.
The Simpsons, in Season 5, 1993, had an episode all about Springfield building a casino. So at the same time that Crown Casino was being organized in Melbourne, there's a Simpsons episode that was created and broadcast about Springfield doing it. In the Simpsons episode, they want to build a casino because the city is in a recession, they've got no money. In Melbourne, officially, the reason they wanted to build a casino was why? Because they were in a recession, they wanted to get the money. The government in Springfield, Mayor Quimby, was happy to approve the casino because he would get kickbacks. In Melbourne, Australia, the story goes that the government, same thing. They were overtly saying, we want the casino so we can take the money to build other stuff to win the election. And the people who helped select Crown Casino on that tender process, there was a whole ton of conflicts of interest. The Prime Minister of Australia said the whole thing was corrupt. So in Springfield, the casino was corrupt. In Melbourne, the casino was corrupt. In Springfield, they built it on the waterfront. In Melbourne, they built it on the Yarra River, the waterfront. So there's all these bizarre similarities between the Springfield casino and the Melbourne casino. Are you with me so far?
Well, I don't call them similarities. I call culture creation conditioning. They condition the people to accept things that they might not otherwise accept because they're familiar with them. I call it conditioning.
You can call it whatever you like, but you can see how there's these bizarre similarities between real life and The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And again, this all happened at the same time. Crown Casino
was softening up the enemy, and if the people are the enemy, John, then all their culture creation that they consume, and for some reason adults watch cartoons, so when it comes along 5, 6, 10 years down the road, you accept it because you're familiar with it. But you can call them coincidences or stink, that's fine.
You can call whatever you want, but as long as people can just see, hey, there's these bizarre similarities, call them whatever you want, but yeah. How come real life seems to mirror so-called fiction or vice versa? So anyway,
yeah.
Melbourne was founded by a guy called John Batman, B-A-T-M-A-N. Okay, John wow. Batman, if you look up the history, he's the guy who founded Melbourne. In this Simpsons episode that I'm talking about, they have this guy called Robert Goulet, who I've never heard of, makes a cameo appearance at Bart's Treehouse Casino.
Yeah, he is an actor.
He sings a song about Batman and Robin. That might seem like a big deal, right? This is the same Simpsons episode where, this is from 1993, where the, what were those two dudes who had that Las Vegas show with the Tigers? Siegfried and Roy.
Siegfried and Roy. Yeah.
In this Simpsons episode, Siegfried and Roy get attacked by their own Tigers, right? But it's not Siegfried and Roy, it's some other two people. But they've got the German accent. It's clearly a ripoff of Siegfried and Roy. Then in real life, 10 years later, what happened? Siegfried and Roy got attacked by their own Tigers. It ended their whole show. Their whole show finished on that day.
Yeah.
So this is a bizarre Simpsons episode that seems to sync up with real life. Yeah? Do you get what I'm trying to say to you here?
Do you get what I say, that it's not syncing, it's conditioning? And
so well, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't really know what you mean by that.
Yeah. Conditioning is a psychological trick that they use to get people to accept things they otherwise wouldn't accept because they're totally foreign to them. So if something is totally foreign to me, I'll reject it outright. If I'm familiar with it, and they use culture creation objects that people are following to condition them to accept things that come down the road. And they do it so far in advance that you wouldn't really psychologically put the two together. If they were one day and the next day, it would be a lot easier to make the connection. But these conditioning tasks they put in your brain, they put in years before, so you might not be able to draw the direct line between the two events. It's called conditioning and cover. The conditioning is, for instance, what you just said, putting these ideas in cartoons, which apparently Simpsons is one of the number one TV shows. I don't know if it still is, which means they know that's their largest audience. So just like you put an advert in the biggest newspaper, you're going to put an advert or conditioning in the biggest culture creation vehicle you have. Football, basketball, cartoons, whatever, musicians, whatever people are following. Now, the cover part of conditioning and cover is you run something right up against what you want to occur. So, for instance, you'll run a drill on 9/11 at the actual scene. That's the cover story. And then, people don't see through a cover as blatant as running a drill on the day before or the same day. And then they're told it turns live. And what a great coincidence and what great luck that we had all these people in place to save the day. I mean, that is the level of stupidity, I suppose, that people can't get past.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Bonjour, je suis Unreal et vous écoutez Radio Fakeologist avec Adirato et ses invités.
So these are two really simple psychological tricks that seem to work every time because nobody talks about them. Or even if they do talk about them, they don't even understand what's happening. Conditioning and cover. And we had Event 201 before the COVID revolution, which was an exact drill simulation for what's happening, what happened the next month. Now, that should be enough to convince everyone that this is a complete simulation. But it's not. And I don't understand why it is not enough. So that's the cover. I guess it's sort of cover and conditioning, Event 201. But they're long-term planners. The technocracy apparently was talked about and formulated in the 1930s. So it's almost 100 years later. You're dealing with a very, very patient crowd, aren't you? Very patient. They waited till
nearly 100 years later to pull it off. Or maybe they were just waiting for the technology to facilitate what's going on. That's also possible. That's my assessment of the situation.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So I'll give you some of the coincidences I've noticed.
Do you agree with any of my...
Well, here's what I think you're saying. Let me see if I've interpreted you properly. You're suggesting that they're using popular culture to normalize an idea so they can then do it in real life, which I'm totally open to. That makes sense.
Yeah.
The only thing is, with this Simpsons episode, it came out in 1993 at the same time the Crown Casino was being planned and then constructed. So I don't think this Simpsons episode was done to convince Melburnians or other city people to accept casinos. But I'm open to that. I just don't think this was happening. I think there's something bigger going on. This is not just humans doing this. I think there's something bigger than humans doing this. Same as that, the number plate for Franz Ferdinand's car. The story goes that what started World War One? Oh, some dude assassinated some guy, right? This Gabriel Princip assassinated this Franz Ferdinand guy, and then this country wanted to kill this country, and then this country was like, well, you can't touch them. If you touch them, you're touching us. And then this other group's like, well, if you touch them, you're touching us, and then bang, the whole of Europe is in war. What a load of nonsense. That all goes back to this Franz Ferdinand car, and his number plate is A-triple-I-double-1-8, as in A-11-11-18, which was the armistice day, the end of that same war. But that car's from the beginning of the war. So how the hell does that car have that number plate? Is that humans doing that? I don't think so. I think there's something bigger going on. You see what I'm trying to say? I think there's something bigger. It's giving us science that this is all... Like you say the coronavirus is a simulation. What do you think about the idea that maybe this whole thing is a simulation, man? What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a little too much for me. A little too much for me to take in. You've probably got
some people telling you that the idea that coronavirus is a simulation is too much for them to take in.
Well, not really. I don't really have people saying it's too much of them because you people either accept that it's real, which is most people, or they accept that it's man-made. But the man-made arguments are many. And they split that argument off into many different directions, which makes it hard for people to focus on one. They'll say it's from monkeys, from bats, from China, weaponized from China, Fort Detrick. There's so many stories that it's really hard to get people to focus on the one central simulation.
Did you see my dance? I played this dance about a month ago where I was dancing to some guy at a bat in China. Did you see that?
I watch all your stuff. Did that one resonate with me as much as some of the other work? I don't know.
How cool was the song? How cool was that song by that guy?
Well, you'd have to re-play it. You want to play it?
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, it's easy. Just
what happened to
Jairus?
It's amazing. You don't know how much you appreciate Jairus until he's gone. And now all of a sudden it's like, where is that guy?
John, I know you might not get it, or maybe others. I don't actually keep track of the people from the website. They don't send me a report of what their schedule is for the day. I have no idea. I know he said he bought a motorcycle. So maybe he's riding around Europe right now. Because I guess it's like a new toy, something new. You want to use it and have fun with it for a few weeks before it gets old and boring. So maybe that's what he's doing.
Maybe he bought that with the money he saved by not going to see a guy in South America.
Yeah, he's enjoying his freedom, I'm guessing.
Have you heard from Gaia lately?
Gaia made a comment on the blog. I don't talk to Gaia. But Gaia is just another very intelligent, manic individual that he's actually on the same page as you and I.
On most things, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
How about, did you read that comment on your blog about 3 weeks ago? I think it was Zilla Felix, but it might have been someone else accusing Uncle Odd of being some kind of deep state proxy.
Yeah, he's not very good at it if he is a deep state proxy. He seems pretty cool to me. I don't know who said that.
I think it was Zilla Felix. If it wasn't, if I've confused who wrote that, then I apologize to Zilla Felix, but it seems like the kind of thing he would write.
Yeah. Uncle Lot's a good guy. And he's really helping. He really likes the video aspect, the studio aspect of the talk show scene, and all the power to him. He's putting a lot of energy into it. And we all know that energy is the only thing that can really be stolen from you. It's not really money, it's your energy. So anyone that puts as much energy into the things that you do and I do, I always admire. And I think you should too, because you know how much energy you put in your website into spreading the truth. And all these people like you and me and Uncle Odd should be really congratulated, because it's so much energy for not a lot of return.
But no, that's definitely
fantastic.
True.
Fantastic, yeah, passion. True. Yeah. I value you and Uncle Lon. I don't think either of you are agents. And you just put out good stuff. Really good stuff. No doubt. That's why we still talk.
Yep. Well, I do what I can, man. You know what? It's about ten to ten here, so I have to go
at
now.
Night.
Have,
at yeah, night, 10, right?
Well, it's 9:50 p.m. So
that's
all
exactly
I wanted to do was
9,
not go out tonight. That's all I wanted to do. If I can just not go out, I'll be a happy man.
Different. Yeah. Well,
I'll tell you what, I'm still tempted. I'm still
welcome.
Tempted to go out though, because if I had a shower right now, I could be at the venue by 10:30.
Are there beautiful Indonesian women where you're going?
I'm in Malaysia. And are there beautiful ones? Tom, this isn't the country you want to be in if you're looking for, I mean, with the greatest respect, if your main concern is beautiful women, there are neighboring countries which are superior. Let's just put it like that. This is really
But are there any women sympathetic to the JLB, his needs and his concerns in the world?
I don't talk about any of this stuff with the women that I meet, because it's just not a small
issue. Oh, yeah, it would be a huge turnoff, but are there any nice women that are interested in the Melburnian look? By the way, I'd learned that word Melburnian. I had to look up what someone from Melbourne is called, and you're a Melburnian.
Yeah, and it's spelled without the O. So Melbourne is spelled with an O, U, but Melbourne is spelled without that O, and no one knows why. I've never heard someone explain why anyway. So, and then also you can tell how much people listen, how much they pay attention, by how they pronounce Melbourne. And like, Tim Osmond, he's probably the smartest dude in the scene. But I remember listening to a podcast he did a couple of months ago, and he was pronouncing it Melbourne, and I'm like, come on, bro. It's Melbourne.
Tim Osmond has some of the worst pronunciation of any of all words. He's as smart as he is, he missed.
So do I. My pronunciation is usually terrible. It's not judging the dude, but it's like Melbourne.
Yeah.
It'd be like if I pronounced, where are you from, Toronto? Imagine if I pronounced Toronto, Toronto. And you'd be like, what? Why are you putting the emphasis on the first syllable? That's not how we say it. That's how it is if someone says Melbourne. It's like nobody says that. That's not how it's pronounced at all, period. Yeah? Not even close. It's Melbourne. It's like if you just imagine it's M-E-L-B-N and there's no vowels in the second syllable, that's how it's pronounced. So, Melbourne. And I'm a Melburnian, and to answer your question, look, Any guys who ask me about Asia, I say to them, just come here and see for yourself. Nothing that I say to you will explain it to you. Just come here and see for yourself. Yeah? I've got a mate back in Melbourne who I play poker with him once a week now. We play like an online Zoom poker. And a couple of times now, he's sort of hit me up and said, oh, blah, 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 what about the girl? I'm like, bro, just come here and see for yourself. Yeah? Like, maybe it's what you've heard that it is. Maybe it's different. Just come here. What do you want me to say? Yeah? I don't talk about this stuff. People ask me questions, but I'm just like, you know what? The world's a strange place, man. And this place is not what I thought it was. This country, this part of the world, this lifestyle, nothing that I say will convey it. Either you come and experience it or you just don't understand. It's that simple. And on that note, I have to go, Ab. So thank you for your hospitality once again. And hello to all your support, Ab the Fakeologist. And big thanks to all the people who have supported Ab the Fakeologist of late. They know who they are. And I might be back in the future. I will probably be back in the future. And, So goodbye, everybody. Bye-bye. John LeBon, johnlebon.com, johnlebon.com. Shamona.
I'm really the end of it, and that's all, folks.